This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Just watched some of the, I hadn't checked it out yet, Game of Thrones. You see that came out in 4K with Atmos on HBO Max?
Yes, I did see that. I have the 4K disc, so
yeah, I did too.
I haven't watched them through yet on the 4K version other than the, The Dark Knight or that
Long
one
Night.
Episode.
Yeah.
Long Night, that's... yeah. Since I have an OLED, I really wanted to see how good that looked, so on and so forth. So
Yeah, it's so I just pulled it up on... because I the show's coming out tonight, and I wanted to see how HBO Max was doing with the 4K and Atmos, and it looks pretty good. It really does. Yeah, it's not close to the disc. I mean, the disc, you know, it just looks amazing, especially that Long Night. But everybody goes to that, the Long Night one.
Yeah, well, you know, if you want to test how your TV looks for black levels, that's there's probably not a better test. So,
no, because that's the one that's pretty much universally known and was universally like, what the hell? Because the first time we all saw it was through cable TV or streaming.
Yep.
And it wasn't in 4K. It was just HD. And if you had a well-calibrated television, you were like, oh, okay, this looks pretty good. But it wasn't until you could get that 4K version, and when they came out with that, I was like, there was so much stuff. We all were like, oh, that's what they were trying to show us. Like when the dragons were flying over the battlefield, and you look down at the battlefield, and you were like, oh, look at all that's going on down there. I couldn't even make that out the first
time. No. No, and I was watching it through, it was a hacked version to, you know, because I didn't get HBO, so it was basically, you know, trying to hack into, you know, HBO, so it was even a worse, you know, through, God, what is that, Kodi? That was the only time I actually tried, because I wanted to watch, whatever you're unlocking, you know, the Amazon stick, this and that, which, it was such a horrible quality, but this isn't even worth it. I'll just, next time, I'll pick up the, you know, the discs and sit and watch them all.
So, right, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's... It wasn't worth it.
That's how I got into Game of Thrones. My wife and I never really watched them. And I heard that they had Atmos on the Blu-ray. So I bought season one, and this was all while they were on like their hiatus between 7 and 8.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll try season one. So I bought season one. I brought it home. It sat on the shelf for like, I don't know, like a month maybe. And then I threw it one Sunday morning. I threw in episode one and I watched it and I was like, ooh, this is pretty good. And it sounded really good, right? And it looked good too, even just the Blu-ray. So I asked my wife, I'm like, do you want to try this? And she's like, all right, yeah. She loved it more than I did. Like the show, it's like, you know, episode one when the kid falls out and, you know, you're like, oh, no. And it's like, so she was just like, oh, man. So she really loved it. So we started binging it and, episode after episode. So then I went out and I was going to get season two, but I was like, well, why don't I just, I bought the 7-season box set. And then we binged all the way through that. And then season 8 came out, I think maybe months and months later. And you had to watch that live on TV. And that was a downgrade from the Blu-ray. And then the 4K version started coming out. So I bought those. And it does look a lot better in 4K. The costumes in that show are so good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the dragons look good. The costumes—it's just a good series, just in general. Yeah, I think we got into it was probably about season 3 or 4. Someone's like, "Did you ever watch this?" Like, you know, no. And at that point in time, I had cable TV, so when HBO was free, I think it was like season 6 or so. I sat and binged them all. Then 7 and 8, I had to sit and watch. You know, just kind of normal live, I guess, to a certain extent with it. Like you said, the Cody, you know, broken Amazon stick thing. So
yeah. It's funny that somebody just mentioned that on Twitter about how back in the day we used to get cable boxes that were broken, you know, and you'd be like, oh, I remember buying one and being like, here you go, you'll get everything. And it was like, all right, let's do this, you know? And well, I guess it's becoming even more prevalent now.
Well, when my best friend is a lineman, so he has all the equipment to go climb up poles. Now, they cracked down on this way back when, but went back in the day, he would climb up the pole because it was just a filter. You unplug the filter, it was unlimited. So he would just climb up the pole after I'd get internet, unplug the plug, and then so I had everything for free just for the regular price of regular just basic cable. So I love that. So yeah, that was, we had that for many years until they cracked down on that and kind of changed how that works and comes into your house. But
yeah, they can manipulate it from the office. They're like, here you go, boom. Well, that's not fair.
Yeah, right.
It's like, you figuring out our tricks. That's great. I know that's I bought mine. I bought a cable box from a guy at the place I worked. I was working in a factory and he brought it to work and he's like, here you go. I go, this will work on my system. He's like, yep. And it looked just like my cable box. He goes, just go home, put this in, you'll have everything. Okie dokie. Couldn't wait to get home. And you're like, wow. And then, yeah, it's, hey, there's tricks and tricks to the trades out there. So
there is. Yeah. Nowadays I just kind of just go normal. And I like, if I just, I don't barely even watch enough live TV to even make it worth my while to even care anymore. I watch, you know, now that, you know, we're just, you know, a week away from real football time, then I'll just watch, I get Google TV or YouTube TV to watch football. So,
yeah, I was actually thinking of getting the NFL app. I wanted to see how well they were doing the streams, how good it looked, if they're going to add anything extra to it.
I would do the app. I just wish they would let me stream it to my stupid TV. If I'm on the same Wi-Fi network, just let me, you know, screen mirror it to my TV. But as far as I know, they don't let you screen mirror.
So you can't screen mirror from your phone to your Apple TV or anything like that?
No, no, they'll block it. At least that's last I tried to do anything like that. It just, you'll get the audio, you get no picture. I was like, I don't want to watch it and watch football on my iPhone. I want to watch it on my 77-inch TV.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, that's pretty smart on their part. Like, here you can have it anywhere you want to go. So they're going to get you to, you know, if you're out at your, I don't know, your godson's christening and you go in the corner, you can still listen and hear the game and see it and everything. That's great. But they also don't want to cut into their networks, you know? So, I mean, I get what they're doing, but yeah, I'm sure there's a trick we could do.
Yeah, eventually someone will have to, because otherwise I would get the NFL app and not spend the $65 a month to have YouTube TV. Like I said, because I don't watch enough live TV to care, I guess. It's just, you know, to watch, you know, regular, you know, CBS, Fox, you know, regular shows. Nah, no, thank you. I don't care. It's just most of the stuff I don't enjoy as much anymore. You know, HBO, Netflix, you know, that put out the good movies and, you know, decent 4K and Atmos. I mean, that's what I want. I don't want regular boring TV, I guess. So
no, I know. It's, I have Fubo just basically for my access to sports, you know, to get football, to get, like, I don't even have to, like, I have Peacock, I have Paramount, I have all of these things. So which one is the CBS? Is that Peacock or is that?
Yes, I think so.
Or is that Paramount? I don't know, whichever one, right? But that has actually my news on it. It'll have your local news on there, on the CBS, my local CBS news affiliates on there. I can watch the football games on there. And the football games actually look better on there than they do coming through Fubo.
Oh, really?
On the app. It's not Peacock. Peacock is NBC, so it must be Paramount. Paramount app has all of the CBS stuff on it.
Okay.
And that's where I watch all my shows. Like, my wife and I just finished, you remember the show Bull?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. We were just watching it, and we loved that show, and we'd get behind, and every now and then we'd just binge a few shows and then catch back up, and then we were watching it just like a week or so ago, And this final, like, it was the series finale, but we didn't know. It ended, and we're like, that was it? We're like, because as it was going, I even said to her, something was happening in the show. I go, well, you know, he's going nowhere because that would be the end of the show. And there he goes.
Like, end of the show.
Holy crap. That was the end of the show. And we didn't know. We didn't see it coming. And we were like, at the end, we were kind of sad. We're like, oh, all right. But that's where we binge we all the shows commercial free. You don't have to bother with it. And it's like, really, we're just using Fubo for like background. And if Fubo wasn't so cheap compared to regular cable, what it used to be, I probably wouldn't even have that anymore. You're right. We don't really watch it. It's like, at night, you're really tired and you just want something on, and you'll put like, you'll scroll to find 2 and a Half Men to play in the background.
Right. Yep.
So, but let's introduce you here. Paul Vanderwall. Is that how you say it?
Yes. Vanderwall.
Yep. There we go. You were a guest of R and I's. We were a guest in your home for your home theater on HT Tours. Fantastic. And, did you get your panels yet?
Yeah, actually, I know that's there. A few of them are hanging all through here. Yeah. So I got, I don't know if you want me, I can move the camera. Yeah.
No, that's okay. Cause it's audio. But yeah, I got
two panels there. And then all around the TV, there's four panels going around the TV.
And you got the white to match the walls, which looks really nice. That's
Hopefully they stay clean.
Yeah.
That's the problem with there's white. No touchy-touchy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like a cream color. So that I did. And then the cold air intake in here, just so you can see, if you look up there.
Oh, nice.
So I put that and then
up. It looks sharp too.
It does. I thought it turned out looking pretty decent.
So for everybody that, if you go to go to HT Tours and you look at Paul's, what did we name it? Paul's
Creative Basement.
Paul's Creative Basement. If you go there, you'll see that he has like the exposed ceiling, everything like that. But he also has the cold air intake, which is that metal up on the ceiling. But now around, like if you went and looked, you'll see he has the DTS, you know, logos and stuff up there. Yep. But now they look really good. You have those sound absorbers. They're black. Yep. And they're kind of paced out. It looks really nice. So, and I love that they're not obtrusive. The ones on your wall, I mean, they're the same color. They're practically matching the wall.
Yeah, they're close enough.
But your eye still goes to the all of your great knickknacks and all your great memorabilia.
Oh, yeah.
So it looks, it does. It looks really nice. Yeah. And how is the sound improvement? Did you notice?
I haven't, this is part of the conversation, at least, will be the, my receiver,
has got
a bad deck. So they actually, that went into, repair. So because of between when I talked with the HD Tours with you, it was like, you know, and honestly why I did it, because that first time where you were like, well, you have center channel problems, don't you? I mean, we didn't even talk and you instantly knew that was where my, I went, okay, so I have a problem I need to fix. So that's why I did all the soundproofing. And simultaneously, then my receiver lost its DAC. So I did a complete, I mean, I'm not kidding, I tore everything down.
Nice.
I have all new wires. I dropped my speakers 6 inches because they were all a little bit too high. I moved my Atmos speakers because they weren't per the Dolby specs. I moved them over one floor joist to go parallel with my mains.
Nice.
So I did all the soundproofing. There's more sound. I built actually, maybe I'll switch around and show you that last little bit. I built just so I can explain it. You look right back there where you see the other, those are all brand new guys. So I got a Hulkbuster Transformer.
Nice.
And they're super detailed. They look. But if you look at the panel back there, that's actually, it was pretty much a homemade sound panel.
Yeah.
So the Rockwell's sitting in on that to hold the floating shelf that they're all sitting on.
That's what I was going to say. That looks fantastic. So, again, audio only. Let me tell the listeners. Yeah. So in your rear wall, it looks like a like beige curtain, right? Like a cream colored curtain. Yep. But your speakers are floating on this curtain. And in between your rear channel speakers, you have this, like you just said, a floating shelf with the Hulkbuster on there and a couple of others, and a bunch of others, actually. It looks fantastic because they look like they're floating in midair. Yeah. And so what's behind that curtain? You built a custom wall or something?
No, behind, actually, it's a sound panel, absorption panel. So it just has that Rockwell. And then I basically bought another curtain, cut the curtain. So it's an exact match to actually how it looks. And then behind the curtain, there's still nothing. I'm still deciding what I want to do because I have a bunch of Rockwell still left over. So I'm not going to build a fake wall. I think I'm going to build a frame, put the Rockwell in there, and actually hang it off the rafter. So it's a wall, but not a wall. It's enough to sit back there and maybe absorb a little sound.
It'll absorb your high frequencies for sure. It's not, I mean, to get your room, like the only thing that I think you would be suffering on, it would be that true deeper bass where you're going to be leaking out because bass is like water. So if you have it, it's getting out. But you have, with your subwoofers right behind the couches, and didn't you say you had the transducers?
Yeah.
So I have a bucket. You're fine. You're rocking. So. Yeah, I mean, literally rocking.
The bass is pretty good. Yeah, you can't. I would love to hear what they sound like in a real, you know, if I had true walls, so on and so forth. But I put Rockwell behind the staircase. Like, you know, you can't see behind the other curtain. Mm-hmm. But I did a lot of soundproofing through there just to, you know, if it helps, it helps. At this point, I pretty much will not do any more soundproofing. This is 3 weeks of every night coming down here and trying to redo everything. So I'm happy with where it is right now. And then, like, I might do something back there when I'm bored and feel like building those because I have, like I said, the Rockwell all in there. And then actually, I don't think it's going to make a difference, but maybe those subwoofers came in a box that you could, you know, ship a refrigerator in much. Well, all those collectibles I have boxes. Well, I put those boxes in that box. And honestly, there's enough room in the subwoofer. I put those boxes behind the subwoofer. So maybe it's enough just to help with a little bit more. I don't know what else to do with those big boxes. So I was like, maybe it helps. Maybe it doesn't. It can't hurt anymore.
You're building a room out of the boxes your room came in.
Yes, pretty much.
So, you can't put a better positive spin on stuff. I mean, speaking of positive spin, I love the idea that, like, well, my receiver crapped out. How else can I have fun in my room? Oh, yeah, let's tear it apart and have fun rebuilding it. And that's exactly what that is kind of what we do, right? It's like we either upgrade because we get to, or something craps out and we have to. And now it's time to do, let's have some fun. Let's tear some stuff apart.
Yep. I'm glad it's last night. I finally got the room to be, you know, usable, I guess, to, you know, nothing's plugged in. But I finally got everything. And then I don't know, actually behind me, see up there,
the light bar.
Those lights.
Yeah. So that's the LED yellow. It looks, is that like a light strip across the top? Is that what that is?
Yep.
It looks great. I was going to ask you about that. Cause it right now, is it a variable or is it always yellow?
You know, I'm not a big RGB guy. You know, as they say, RGB puke. I'm good. The thing is, I actually had like the blue lights behind my desk. You know what? How often I turned them on when someone was here that I could show off my silliness versus those I'll leave on when I'm watching TV because it just adds to the ambiance. Because now you can see all the things that are sitting up in the rafters now too.
And the warm light, the yellow actually accents the wood. It makes it look really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And then today the power cord's coming, but then I put another one right behind that cold air intake is actually the water main basically. So that tube is sitting right there. So I, you know, same thing. I have another LED strip going there. So all those Funkos, my movie collection and the Hulkbuster, my Transformers will also now have a light dimming down on them.
Oh, nice.
To make that, look the opposite of this because it's going from the top to the bottom now.
Right.
So it's just all the cutesy stuff I was doing as I completely ripped apart this entire room and basically started scratch besides the computer desk. So it's like, what can I do? I'm like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. And I'm going to do a lot of it right now. So like I said, it's been a pretty, pretty good process. So I can't wait to get everything plugged in and actually see, because it's also there was a little bit of a dollar amount that went into all this too. So, the acoustic panels I actually got from Acousta Matt. So I mean, I didn't do those myself. So.
They look great. And I cannot wait for you to hear that. You're going to have to come back on. Seriously. Once you've done it, because people are, like I said, when I looked at your room and I loved your room, but I was like, do you have any issues?
Well, that was, like I said, that is the sole reason. I mean, that's why even that night I went and bought them, because we didn't talk. that was almost the first thing. Like, you got sonar problem? Yeah, I was like, okay, you convinced me enough to go do
now it. I hope it works.
Yeah.
No, I think
it has to be an improvement.
Yeah, I think you're going to hear with all that you've done, I think you're going to hear a difference. You're going to hear more separation from all of your channels because you're going to have less, obviously, bouncing around the room that you're competing with, and that's going to really dial that in. But so you had a set, what did you have? The Marantz 7705?
Yes.
I think. Yep. And the, would you say the DAC went?
Yeah, they said that one of the DACs went out.
Okay.
So that's really about all they said. I picked it up, and actually, that's one of my, obviously, just like most people, made my notes. So I actually even worded this funny to her since you're the bright side. It's like, well, I have a bright side story of the dark side of home theater.
Yep.
And that's actually warranty work. That was one of the experiences I ever had going through Marantz. Called, I didn't have to go through an operator. Someone answered instantly. I talked to a person. She could answer the questions perfectly. And just so happily, when they gave me the warranty place, I went, okay, I'm living in the northern suburbs of Detroit. Well, I went to go look where their address was. It was a place called Roseville. Well, that's not that far. So I called them, and they're like, oh, well, we moved. It ended up being 2 miles away from where I work.
Oh,
so
wow.
I only had I got to drive off, drop it off. So I didn't have to ship it, didn't have to do anything, got to pick it up, everything like that. So, yeah, that was a, out of warranty work can sometimes be a hassle and no fun talking to some of those people. It ended up being a fantastic experience. So,
wow. That's awesome, especially for a company like that size. And you'd think you'd be like, push 12 for.
Oh, it was too. It was and I called that noon, I think. So pretty and all that, not first thing. I was so impressed. I was like, well, Marantz might get more of my money going down the road, because I was debating about getting a different processor. But stuff like that, if I don't have to fight with somebody and talk to real people, that is such an experience.
Yeah.
Or a better experience. So.
Yeah, it is. I mean, nobody wants this stuff to crap out. But at the same time, when it happens, if they're like SVS, they built their reputation on that.
Yes.
Right. Yep. And to see a company like Marantz, which is huge, to get that same level of service and to be able, it does. It's because what did you had mentioned? You had mentioned to me you were thinking about the
Anthem.
AVM 70, right? Yeah. And you asked if I had heard anything bad about it, and I hadn't. But now you're just going to stick with that. You're going to get yours repaired, or?
Oh yeah, it's here. They have all the work done, and between what I spent doing all this stuff, my the budget is done. I didn't really want to spend that much on the AVM 70. And the thing is, like, I don't know either. Like, everyone says that it's so much better. Like, the separation and the Atmos is better than the Marantz. And actually, I guess I'll ask you, since you have yours and you just got upgraded to your Marantz, at least out of Atmos, did you boost your Atmos to be able to hear them better? Because a lot of people complain that the Marantz kind of, deadens that versus, I know you had a deadened before the Marantz, so that's both, sound are united and they're two of the same more or less. So okay, I was just curious because I seem to have to boost mine up a little bit. This room is such a goofy room that I don't blame some of it on the room correction. So
well, to be fair, it's what's funny is, and people say this, that like your room and my room are probably closer than what most people would really think, right, in the grand scheme of things. And nobody's room is perfect. Right. So like when we start to get into like critiquing other people's rooms and be like, yes, is mine closer to, is I have a dedicated room with real walls and, a ceiling and all, and the sound absorption all over the place. But at the same time, it's still not perfect. I have way more to go to improve. And like your room doesn't have some of those things, but we're still going to have a similar sound. Am I going to pull out a few of it's so minor, right? And then like to get the improvements that I want to get, or to get into a better room than what mine is a minor improvement. You know, it's like we have the systems. So I think a lot of times when people say like, oh, the Atmos isn't what I'm not, I got to boost that. I think it's because their expectations were higher. They just wanted louder raindrops first. You know what?
Don't we all?
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's like, we just don't want to be wet. We want to hear it. We just want to be dry. But, and I think it's a lot of their expectations. Right. And what ends up happening is people boost that stuff. Then they get used to it. And then at the end of the day, now it's like, well, I need to have it boosted to feel like it's normal. But if you had just lived with it in the first place, and this is what I just went over this recently with somebody about, dynamic volume. And I likened it to back in the 90s. I said, you know, learning to calibrate a television. Once you got your television calibrated correctly, it did. It felt dimmer, because if you've never had a calibrated television, especially in the 90s, everything was so vibrant, and all I knew was you came home and you put the TV on, and if it had a setting, it was standard, vivid, sports, whatever, and you set it. But once you get it calibrated correctly, you realize, you're like, wow, that's kind of dim. And the professionals were telling me, just live with it, get used to it, and you'll start to notice more details over time. And what I found interesting is, it's not that you find out, you learn the details out of your display. It's when you go elsewhere, oh, those details aren't there. That's when you start to notice. That's when you know you have a well-calibrated system, is when you go someplace else and you'll be like, supposed to hear this or see this or whatever. And you're like, that's not there. And that's the difference, because you're living in your room all, and you're like, this is what it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah, this is normal.
Yeah. So I try not to boost anything, because I'm always trying to go for that clean, whatever it's supposed to be. And that could be and that's how you figure out, like, well, this disc doesn't really play as well as that disc and stuff.
Yeah.
And I've always been that way. I've always wanted, you know, like, since I started this, I just always wanted to get what I was supposed to be getting. And then every now and then, like, The Mandalorian, remember that show came out, and the HDR on that was just, I didn't feel like it was very good. Mm-hmm. And I felt bad. I'm like, wait a minute. It took me to season 2 to figure, which actually had better HDR. I'm like, why don't I create a setting on my projector to boost this HDR? Because it's streaming through Apple TV, which is crap. This isn't what they probably intended. So why don't I add on, like, I shut off all of the dynamic black levels, all of the stuff on my projector, all the enhanced stuff that they have. I shut all that off because I want the clean version. Well, why don't you just put a setting on my projector for when I'm watching The Mandalorian, where I do boost the blacks? And I did that, and I was like, ooh, this looks great. And I'm like, because I'm like, it's coming through faulty anyway, so who am I not to mess with it at that point?
Yeah.
So that's about the only time I'll boost anything. So, and then, you know, that's what I like. But I know, like, a lot of people they want to hear that stuff. It's, I have friends that do it, and their speakers will be right behind their head. Their couch is up against the wall, and they boost those. What are you doing? They're right there. Like, I can hear them perfect, but they love that effect. They love that, you know, to hear their systems working.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
But, the Marantz will be here for a while still, till I save up. It's either going to be we'll see about a different processor or a TV. Past that, there's no more upgrades, really. I get my speakers, everything else are perfectly fine.
So. Yeah, you got a great system. You got a great system. So that there really isn't an upgrade. How many channels did the Anthem have? Would that have been an upgrade?
15. I don't think putting more speakers in this room, I mean, that's so small in the first place. So,
yeah.
I mean, adding front wide or front height, I would be surprised there'd be anything noticeable difference for it. The only thing would have been me is that everyone was saying the Arc Genesis was such a good room calibration. So
that's another thing. I'm in the middle. Here's a tease for Friday. I'm in the middle of doing the Dolby Atmos versus DTS:X on Jurassic World Dominion.
Yeah.
And it's a blast to do that. But all of these room corrections, they're all capable of the same thing.
Yeah.
Some I just think are easier to use. Some are more hands-on, more in-depth, allows you to tweak things, but they all have those same capabilities. So I'm not necessarily, I haven't bought in on the fact that maybe one is better than the other. I haven't seen anything to prove that to me other than people like to mess with it. Right. And like Dirac, you'll have you know, different, but you can, but you can tweak all of this stuff. And what I've found what I found from talking to people is the more you can mess with it, the more inaccurate the thing is going to be, because everybody, to your point, like they're like, I like to have it like this. I like to have it like this. And then now it's like, whereas if we had a standard and everybody said it to that wanted to, you'd be like, I know I'm hearing what you're hearing, or my system is like yours. You know what I mean? But what were you going to say? Sorry.
Oh, I was just with YouTube Youth Man. Did that M-Wave, whatever. Well, they did do that whole, you know, they try to test everyone. Now, he didn't put good notes down on that part, which I thought was a little weird. But the general consensus was, yes, differences, not big differences like between all the different ones. And I can only imagine that's true. There's only so much room correction isn't going to make you become the best sounding stereo in the world. It just isn't going to happen. So,
right. And, and the better your room, the less the room correction's working. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, ideally you would want none because you want to do everything first, right? You want to get your room correct in the first place. And then you let the room correction do the few tweaks here and there. So, you know, I don't know. I just think it's like, if you're spending all of this money, you're getting these higher end systems, right? And you're spending all of this money. Don't you already haven't you already done the room, like you did in your room? Haven't you already done a bunch of the room correction? Because that's what it's trying to correct. It's trying to correct the reflections. And it's trying to eliminate that stuff. And the more you correct, the less pure the signal is, right? Because now it's trying to cancel out frequencies. But what if it's – so there's a lot going on there. And I think you're going to notice a substantial difference in your room with all of the room correction, the physical room correction you did, not the digital room correction.
Oh, even lowering, I mean, because, you know, lowering the speakers 6 inches, like I said, we're dealing with such little bit. Some people are like, well, 6 inches don't make a big difference. Well, 6 inches in how I have this room set up, there's at least more separation finally between where the Atmos speakers were versus my surround speakers. So, like I said, there's at least, visually looking at it, I can see that, well, maybe it's a little bit better. And, you know, if it's that, you know, a 0.25% of an increase or in pro performance, thumbs up.
yeah, absolutely.
You know, at this stage, you don't go up 10-15% in performance anymore at what I at least feel that my equipment's at. I'll never jump that much in performance anymore.
No. And that, we say that all the time, the diminishing returns, right?
Yeah.
And it's like when you get up to this level, it's like, you're just happy you got an improvement. I'm not up. If I had no improvement with going to the Marantz and the separates, if I had no improvement, I would have been happy. I just wanted to do it. Right. And I just would have been like, right. I would have been able to say, well, there really is no improvement. I know I want that. This is what I wanted, but there was.
Well, that picture that, you know, in the room tours of my old equipment when it was all black, I mean, that stuff I've had for, that was 15-year-old equipment that I had. I can't quite remember. So I was rocking that that went to, you know, house to house as I moved. And, you know, this, it was just only during the COVID when I actually ended up getting, you know, first I bought a Marantz AVR. I was like, wow, and that was a huge improvement over your basic Sonys and, you know, Onkyo. And then, you know, I got bored with that. Went, well, I really want to try separate. So, I mean, that upgrade path all happened within the last 2 years of me doing this. So it's been a learning curve, to say the least, so far. So,
isn't it always?
It is.
We're still on the curve, Paul. I'm still learning.
Beyond the curve.
But
you know, the sound, everything between like AV rant and you listen to anyone was the sound acoustics. And I guess that you convinced me, like I said, it was as soon as like, okay, that's enough. I've heard enough things. Like, okay, let's treat the room, the best that I can for the kind of room that it is. I get what kind of room it is, but I think it sounds a little bit better already, even when I talk, I guess, you know, for what it's worth. Could just be, you know, placebo effect on things like that. And, but, you know, it seems better. I'm really hoping, like I said, the center channel, like I can't remember. It's like Ambulance was a one. I loved how that sound, but it sounded like they were kind of talking like this, though.
And oh,
like,
yeah.
But then the other movies, it wasn't as effective, but Ambulance was definitely going to be my test one going, does that all sound, you know, the vocals finally sound just a little bit better with that? Like I said, it wasn't like you had to struggle to hear, but it's just, I wanted more, I guess, would be how I would say it. So,
well, yeah, your description of your dialogue was the issue. And I was, you didn't get that. It wasn't as clear as you would have liked, and you're competing with a lot bouncing around the room. And once you take that out, that's what I think most people hear when they first add those treatments. They're like, wow, my dialogue is better. My center channel is better. Everything, you know, and then you start to pick up on the sounds around the room too, because now you're going to notice the smaller thing. Like if you were having trouble with your dialogue, once you clean that up, now that seems clearer, but the little tweaks and pings and stuff that are going on all around the room and ambient sounds, the quieter sounds, you're going to be able to hear a lot better. And it gives you that more, you know, full ambient sound. I think moving your speakers too, like you said, even just down 6 inches and creating that separation from your Atmos, you're allowing this system, the Atmos system or DTS:X system, to triangulate the sounds better, right? If they're closer together, they can't pull it. They can't make that sound like it's supposed to be where it is. Whereas you pull them apart, just like when we used to do, everything is based off of like your stereo when we were kids. You put two speakers next to each other. If you put them really close in front of you, you don't get that separation from left to right. But now you pull them apart and now you can actually, wow, it sounds like there's something in the middle in between them, right?
Yeah.
You're like, it sounds like the singer's over here, but the drums are over on the left and the guitar's over on the right. Wow, that's pretty cool. But you slide those two speakers together and now that stage literally just got everything's right in front of you. So by moving your surround speakers, that's going to enable all of your speakers to work better and move those sounds and give you a better sound stage. And a better image of that. So that's
actually one of because listen to your guys, obviously listen to your podcast. What is, because you called it was a free upgrade. So it actually got me and Steve and you guys said, and Mike, you guys always are talking. What is NeuroX? I guess I'm going to say I don't know what is that. It was, you know, is that just a setting that you do that you guys are always talking about, you know,
DTS NeuroX?
Yeah, the NeuroX upgrade that you guys like for something that doesn't have Atmos, it sounds like it's it's, what is that? Is that just you change your sound profiles or
so? DTS NeuroX is so on your receiver. I'm not even sure about your Marantz. How old is your Marantz? Does it have it? Did it have it in there?
It should. It's only one model behind where yours.
Yeah. So you should have NeuroX. So, what it is it's basically. Remember Dolby Pro Logic where they, okay. So Dolby Pro Logic was you had four channels of sound and then they matrixed the front to give you that center channel. That's what Pro Logic was, right? Then they came out with Dolby Digital 5.1 and that gave you the discrete center channel. Okay. So now when they mastered the movies for the home, they would actually put the dialogue in there. That was its own channel. Mm-hmm. Well, when we get DTS 5.1, we're only getting, for NeuroX, you're only getting 5.1 channels, right? So your overheads aren't getting anything. Yep. So basically, it's the same idea as Pro Logic. They're matrixing that 5.1 to utilize all the speakers that you have available, okay?
How do you turn that on?
So you could go, do you have the app on your,
Yes.
You have, so you have that app, right?
Yep.
So if you go on there, is my system on right now? Let me see. Oh, mine's off right now.
So you just changed the.
If you went on there, you would see, let me actually turn this on from here. Okay. All right. So is your app look just like this?
Yes.
Okay. See this button down here, bottom left corner. It's yep. Mine says game. Okay.
Yep.
Because I put mine in game. Tap on that, and then you'll pull up this. And there's all of your different.
Okay.
See the codecs? Right. But now when I click on game, it should bring up, I don't know. See how, and there it is. DTS Neural X is right there.
Yep.
So you go in there and then you'd be able to pick which one you want. Now, DTS actually named theirs Neural X. Dolby Audio named their, it's Dolby Surround. So Dolby is already, if it comes in Atmos and you choose that, I'm sorry, if it's in Dolby 5.1 and you have it set to Dolby Audio, it will just it automatically does it. Okay.
Okay. All right.
I actually, if it's in Dolby 5.1, I use DTS Neural X and I upmix it with that way because you do get a more robust sound, I think. I like that one better. So if I ever see, like, if I actually mess with anything, that would be the one thing that I actually mess with. I don't stick with the Dolby Audio. I use the DTS Neural X for pretty much everything. But yeah, that's all you have to do. It's pretty simple. And you can mess around with it too. You can go in there and you can try the different ones. And like I said, I use the game because it's the more discreet. That's Rob H says it all the time. It's the more discreet surround sound, which is the idea of what our surround, you know, with Atmos and all of this now, you're supposed to be, those channels are supposed to be discreet. The movie setting is a wider stage. I don't really like that as much. I actually like the game mode. And that's, I use game, Neural X for everything that's 5.1, and then obviously Atmos and DTSX, but that's also set in game mode too.
Okay.
So
yeah, I guess I played a little. I guess I just probably just do whatever when it says Dolby. So.
Yeah,
I was just curious about that. I just kept hearing that being brought up more and more, and I knew that was something I was not taking advantage of.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
Yeah,
it's like, fun, like hey,
it's always a learning
thing?
Curve.
Yeah, yep. exactly.
Especially when I hear free upgrade, I'm all about free upgrades.
It's in there, yeah, and it's just a it's just a upmixing is what we're doing. You're just upmixing it to take advantage of your overheads. So, so how soon do you think you're going to have that place rocking?
Couple weeks probably before I get it back calibrated again, because I'm going to hopefully tonight actually take everything out of the entertainment center that I built.
Yeah,
and I want to cable manage significantly better than what I did. Like I said, when I did this was for lack of better terms, this was a proof of concept. Like, okay, look, I can actually get Atmos in here. And like, then I had my old equipment. Then I upgraded to the Yamo system. Then I upgraded to the Pogues. And this all happened within a very short amount. That was only a year's worth of me playing around. So I just kind of kept doing stuff. And I know I can do better. And it's actually, it's therapeutic to me to cable manage. It's just, I like it. I like to see how clean I can make it. Like, as much as spaghetti that's in this room between my computer and my home stereo, I'd be darned if anyone wanted to come down here and you find me a cable outside of what I call the umbilical cord in the video.
Yeah.
I love everything clean and neat and tidied and not seen.
I love it too. It's so hard to do though.
It is. It takes time.
You know what really impresses me is those custom systems where they cut the cords to the exact length.
Yeah.
And I'm talking like, these are like, $1 million systems or whatever, but it's like the HDMI cable is like the perfect length.
Yeah.
Everything is cut perfectly to go directly. And that's what, I mean, you get the spaghetti because you're like, I need 6 feet. Okay.
Yeah.
But you really only need three, but everything's dangling. So it's like, how do I manage that? And I'm the same way. It's like in my rack right now, I tried a way of I move everything to one side and so like when you look at the back of it, it looks clean, but HDMIs go one way, XLRs go another way, but the back of the, of the pre-pro looks nice and neat. The back of the amps looks like it's nice and neat. But then the side of the rack, don't look there, because that's where everything's just dangling down. And I was actually thinking of designing a rack that way and be like, the walls are like, all the cables go on the inside. Like, you actually enclose that, right? So you can see through it for air management, but the sides would just be like black sheet metal where the cables just pop in and out, and it would look really nice. So I'm thinking of making something like that, but I'm the same way. Yeah, I love that clean look.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like, you know, I put a couple of wire channels, you know, underneath and top of, because, you know, obviously I just have my entertainment center, so it's horizontal. So I'm trying to run all the power at the bottom, because that's where my power conditioner is, at the bottom. So I'm trying to run all that now through the bottom, trying to keep the network and audio, or audio and visual, all on the top part, to try to keep it at least a little bit. I mean, and it's honestly, do I think it will make a difference? Absolutely not. Am I doing it for a challenge for myself? Absolutely. I just want to see if I can make it look nice and not have everything, because, like before, when I push it against the wall, you know, there's all kinds of stuff sitting on the floor. And so, you know, it's like, I don't want that. You know, my speaker cables are going to anyhow, because I need to be able to pull that out from the wall. So the speaker cables have to stay pretty on, you know, a little bit longer. So I just, gives me something to do. So I'm hoping between, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, maybe I'll hopefully get it. You know, with the, you know, I got a little kid, he's actually started kindergarten here in a week and a half. Ooh. Yeah, so he's starting that, plus the holiday week, and we're out of town. So we'll see, because I normally have to ask the wife and the kid to leave. So when I'm doing, you know, AC's turned off, everything's going, when I'm calibrating, it's at least hopefully as best that I can get it. So.
Yeah, that's there's nothing worse than you're running the calibration for the room and, like, the dog starts barking and through the, oh no.
Yep. Yeah. Come on. Really?
I got 8 positions here. Yep. You're on position 7 and you get, all right, rerun that one.
Or
somebody will stomp across the floor and you're like, well, there goes the subwoofer levels on that one. Okay. Let's try.
Yeah.
Again. Yep. Yeah, it's the things we suffer through, Paul.
Yes. And I didn't actually get into it. You did actually mention in your video on last Friday, but at least I could be the first person to say it in person on your podcast. Congratulations on all your success you've had lately, and with your getting the extra money through SVS and all that other stuff. That's pretty awesome. That's everything's kind of, I guess, falling in line and working out pretty darn well.
It is. Thank you very much. And thank you to everybody. But yeah, it's one of those things, like, I feel stupid it didn't come about earlier, but it was one of those, like, I don't like asking for money. Right. Yeah, and then John and I joking about it, because John obviously has no qualms. he's like, no, you just, you know. And my son's the same way. He goes, look, he says, I listen to a ton of podcasts. And he goes, I don't care that they ask. And he goes, if I want to give, I want to give. But if you don't keep asking, they won't remember. Right. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I just feel bad. He goes, why? And my son, he's like John. He's funny like that. But then I kept thinking about it, like, away from the podcast, like every, I'm like, wow, all right. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, but we do so much. In our theaters, and we spend so much, right? And then I was like, oh, and it made me think, I think I said in the podcast, of when I was coaching, and those kids, they got so much equipment on, and it just made, when you get to a certain station in life, and you're like, man, I want people, especially with kids, you want them to appreciate where they are and the upbringing that they're getting, and what to see the other thing, and the other side. And so that got me to thinking, I'm like, well, wait a minute, why don't I do that with this? I'm like, we're spending money on all our stuff, and we're doing, I'm like, we could do that. So that's what happened. And then SVS.
No, you're the only Patreon that I signed up for, since I know it's going to a better place.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's, you're welcome. But that's the thing. It's like 50% here for, I would love to get to, you know, I talking with Nick, and I go, I can't wait. Maybe someday. That my first goal in all this isn't about it. It's not like the amount of money, it's to get a company to tap out. Right. Yeah. So I got SVS on board. I got another one coming on board that I'll be announcing soon, but to get a company to be like, okay, that's the max we can give. Like, they'll match because they know we're not giving that much yet. It's $100. And like my first goal is to get a company to go, okay, we'll stop here. Yes. Yep. I mean, you know,
yep.
And that'll be fun. And, you know, but, and if it doesn't take off, we're still doing $100 a month. And
yeah, you're whatever. Doing something beats nothing.
Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And we actually with
giving
with,
back to a community. So.
Yeah. Yeah. We're actually with the new, with people, people have started doubling. People are jumping on. We're actually coming. I'm actually, I think by the end, maybe by the end of a couple more, I'm at $93 right now. So when I started mentioning this, I was at like 65. So people have gotten on board. And so I was going to be matching to get to the 100 or adding my own money, right? But now I'm like, I'm $7 away from just it being gone. And then if I get to 200, that would be the, you know, the true 50% going out. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So it'll be good. It'll be good. I'm very, yeah. I'm happy. I'm excited. And the response from like, you know, people like yourself has been great. So
oh, yeah.
Hopefully it grows and
it's a great thing.
Program. Yeah. So.
Yeah. My wife's a social worker. So I kind of know about helping, you know, charities and doing whatever to try. And you only got one community. So it is what it is. So.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's, yeah. And again, like if you have a charity we want to give to, let me know.
Oh, you guys, there's more than anyone can probably count.
So. Oh, I know. I know. I know. So, very exciting. So thank you. Thank you for bringing it up.
Yeah, you're That's welcome. Great. Yeah. And then just because I brought up my wife, since this also you brought up in the home tour video. Oh, there's no cobwebs. It's spotless. Something when she came down and said, now I might keep the main part spotless
because yeah.
I like it nice and clean and neat. I didn't realize when she's dusting and she still has, I guess, whatever Swiffer and there's something left. That's like, that's not dirty enough. She actually comes down here and grabs some of the cobwebs out from the rafters. So she's doing that. And I didn't even know about it. Cause like, I thought maybe the spiders just respected my area that well to not come give me cobwebs.
But it's magic. I know that.
It's maybe right. It's bad because I never clean up there. But no,
she comes
down to do so. Bless her heart to come down here and at least do that part of the man cave maintenance. So.
That is awesome. That is awesome. My wife doesn't do that. That is awesome.
I was pretty surprised.
So you found out because she watched the video and was like, "Ah, dummy."
And she came down here and so we were talking. I was like, yeah, you know, you never do see cobwebs. She's like, well, I come down here and get that. No, you don't. Yeah, I do. It's like, I've done it probably like 9-10 times. Like when I'm dusting around, come down when, you know, every once in a while, go down and clean. Well, thanks. That was awfully sweet of you. She was. I was like, and like you said, at night, because that's what I told her. I was like, I just thought the darn spiders just went, nah, this is too cool of a room. We won't mess it up over here. No. Oh. It's my wife taking care of me. So.
It's magic. Oh,
it's magic.
That's great. That is great. Yeah. Like, well, I got no spiders in my house. I mean, everything's clean. And your wife's like, oh, by the love of God. That is awesome.
That was,
shout out to your wife. That is awesome.
Yeah.
She get,
yeah,
you she, had to, she did she make it. You say that today?
No.
Could you clear the air? Give me credit.
She go, you don't have to say that. It's like, yeah, no, I wanted it to, you know, I oblivious. Yeah, I did. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I might clean the bottom part, but yeah, she's came down. That's why there were so many cobwebs when I took that video.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's I've done videos. Oh my God. I've done videos of my stuff and you look and you're like, which one was it? Was one of the, maybe the HDMI one. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. There was dust on top of the receiver. And I was like, and I had white and you could see that I wiped like right along the edge. Then like, as you looked further in, cause it's in the rack, as you looked further in and with the light on it, you could see the dust on top. And then you're like, oh my God, that looks gross. But I'm like, screw it. I'm way into this video. I'm not taking a new picture.
Yeah.
I'm like, cause we all have it. I mean, it's what happens, but it's when we do these HD tours, your rooms are always so clean and I know what goes into that. It's not easy, right?
Yeah.
Cause we love to sit in our rooms and like in my room, I have that little table at the front with Superman sitting on it, the glass table. And it's like, you can see, like, just every time I leave the room, I look at the table. I'm like, okay, it's going to be time to dust soon. because he could, yeah, you know, wipe my finger through it. Okay, it's not bad. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, again, going back to that one picture when I had the black equipment with the, you know, the heat treated black glass. That's man, you only got 2 days before you start seeing the dust. This wood, much more forgiving on, you know, to get a couple more weeks before you have to, like, really, like, okay, this is kind of gross. It's time to clean.
So. Yeah. The thing I find that's best is just turn the lights out and put a movie on. You don't see anything.
Right, yeah.
That's what I always do. Like, watch that. How's it? Oh, it looks dusty in here. Hit the button. Boom. Lights are out. It's like, looks great. Put the movie. And I'm always, like, with my projector, I'm always looking in there. See if I just don't want any dust on the lens. And you blow a little dust off of that. But other than that, I probably dust, I don't know, every month or so. I'll go through quick.
I don't know if I'm probably around there. Just when, you know, if I'm sitting down here, I do treat the, you know, put oil on the wood. It's wood. So to make sure it stays nice and clean. I don't want to rebuild any of this again anytime soon. So.
Yeah. I find that when I clean, like, I'll do a good deep cleaning, like move the seats and get underneath and vacuum. And then I'll vacuum my seats there. I have the microfiber. So when you vacuum the seats, I'll put the pattern in them, the stripes, everything's
fancy.
Yeah, you go all fancy. And then you don't want to sit on it and be like, oh, this looks great. Then you sit down and it's like when you get an oil change in your car, you're like, ooh, it feels faster. You get a clean, detailed and an oil change.
There's something
and you're
special
like,
happening.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this feels so much better. And you sit down in the room like, oh, it sounds better. It's like, because the dust is gone.
Yeah. A good wax on a car makes it go faster.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's quieter. The wind goes over it easier. Oh yeah. It's so fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like better gas mileage. I mean, everything, right? So it works in the theater. Works for me.
Yep.
Like, everything looks better and sounds better once you give it. Now I want to go give it a deep cleaning.
Yeah, last night, like I said, between all the drilling, because I rewired everything to make it look prettier, like going through this, so I've drilled, obviously, every one of those panels, I drilled through concrete, so that's concrete dust, and so on and so forth. So yeah, I made a pretty darn good mess in here. So last night, I finally got to actually clean, like, my my rack, you know, where my TV, actually, that's one thing I never got to bring up during the HD tours, if anyone's watching, the displays where I have all my knickknack, that's just that's a DVD rack that actually turns 360 degrees, so it actually rotates. Oh. So most of my movies are sit on the other sides of that. So all my cute knickknack, I just thought that when I started my knickknacks in here, I'm like, well, that would be a really fun way to do that. Like, there's the movie and there's some characters to go with it.
Yeah.
I'm honest. I have found that just to be I have spent way more than I should, but it's been so fun decorating and doing stuff because, you know, like, it's like, yeah, this is a who. I've been enjoying it quite a bit. But yeah, that was just for anyone that ever wants, like, you know, that was not fancy. It was actually really cheap on Amazon, just a DVD rack that turns 360 degrees. So majority of my movies sit behind that. So
now do you, so you use just any rotate of that it? At museum putty to hold them down so it's
yeah they all are
they're all museum putty
at least down. Most of them, because like I said, my little kid likes to come down here and grab some of, you know, daddy's toys, so like the one Voltron part that he can play with, that the right. Game of Thrones are not glued down because I don't care, they were cheap in the first place, so it's not that big of a deal. Some of the real nice stuff I have either locked down or if it just doesn't stand properly by itself, so,
right, yeah, that museum putty is great. You can
use that. The thing is, it doesn't, I've had certain, like, actually my Loki bobblehead Funko was just will not sit, so that's been on there for a year. I cleaned that up yesterday, I took it off, cleaned off everything, that stuff came right off, not one residue, nothing. Yeah, that's some pretty nice stuff. I was a co-worker of mine kind of told me about that. I was like, oh, I'll try that. I was like, oh yeah, that was that it was well worth anybody of its money to own if you like doing little things like this.
Yeah, you can put stuff on speakers and it won't vibrate off. It won't, you know, that's all of my stuff is locked down. I usually put it, I put that and this new tape I found that I use, that it's a two-sided tape that's stretchy. It's really nice. And it it's on Amazon. And I put that, and that's same thing. It's like it's actually stronger than the museum putty. And you put that behind the posters and, or like my framed posters on the wall, you put that there, they won't slide, they won't move. You could actually hang the frame poster with this stuff. And then when you pull it off, you just stretch it further. Like you grab it and pull it and it'll stretch and pop right off whatever it's holding on to. It's pretty good.
Yeah, kind of like the, that's how a lot of the stuff in here, I try not to drill into too much of the cinder block.
Yeah.
But some of it is just by that 3M double-sided tape. But so it's kind of saying you pull down on those little floating by shelves. So you just pull down. But that's, there's a lot of stuff in here that way. But I've been, so far it's been great. It's 2 years holding strong. So I'm hoping to keep kind of continue since I don't want to come down here one day and like half my wall is on the floor.
There's an expiration date. One day, everything just falls.
Yeah. So, but that's like the new shelf I built in between my two rear speakers. That's where the expensive stuff. And that you could do chin ups on, and that ain't coming off the wall. I promise. Yeah. So that is solidly put in there.
Yeah, it looks great. Yeah, that's awesome. So that stinks, though. You haven't been able to take in any new content down there.
No, I haven't, but I wrote down, actually, the one thing, and I'll get into that, I guess, here in a little bit, was, I guess I'll take a different strokes on how sight, sounds, and scenes works in my world of, actually, or if not, we can talk about it now, I guess, if you wanted to, was, I don't know if you said you didn't have a chance, I know some brought it up, but that Disney Plus, the Light and Magic?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to that yet, but I've heard a lot of people bring it up, yeah.
But that was probably the last thing I said, and that's something I is near and dear to my heart. One, Star Wars, obviously, everyone that's in home theater, I don't care. You love Star Wars, it seems to be. But making and seeing what they did and the progression of how things went with that, and to me, it's, I even wrote down from my notes, it's just like, you know, that's how the sight, sound, and scenes are actually made to actually sit and watch how much. And I knew even back when, with, you know, when they made Star Wars, that was groundbreaking. There was nothing ever out there that even came close to looking like what Star Wars looked like. To watch everything that they did and the progression of LIM and so on and so forth and all this other stuff, and then it ended with the Mandalorian.
Yep.
But how they built the screens to build that, like to take away the green screen, and you know, you even brought it up, like, you know, so they're just little screens that they just keep building, and it's in a room that is the size of, you know, a small volume warehouse, and yeah, the volume, I was amazed how that was. So that was one of the things that's just like, that is so cool to see how they built everything from Star Wars and then got to that point, going eventually, you know, especially for like my room, I won't ever be able to put a projector in here. I have no, even a short throw, it just doesn't work with my ceiling height and everything. Is that eventually I'm just going to buy little puzzle pieces and put together a 110-inch screen.
Right.
That was one of the, like, just watching that was just one of the, that was a good watch for me for how they built everything. Because I guess for as much work as I put into trying to consume their content, to see how much work they put in for me to consume was, it gives you a little more appreciation onto what it works for it. Especially, like, you know, if you watch other things that don't put that kind of love into their project, it probably comes out that way. It's just, that's why Star Wars is what Star Wars is. And some of those things is just because they were so hard on trying to do something groundbreaking to make it, you know, so you can enjoy it, I guess. So
yeah. And that's a great way to put it. It's like part of our fascination when I talk with people, and every people come on here and they're like, oh, I started with Star Wars. And people are like, some people have apologized. Sorry, this is redundant, but I started with Star Wars. And be like, there's no need to apologize. Because even like what you're saying, it's a new aspect that we haven't talked about. But it's, for me, here's a similarity between Star Wars and our home theaters, right? So George Lucas had a vision in his head, and he didn't have a way to get it onto the screen. So that entire first episode, which is episode 4, is all about problem solving. How do I do this? How can I get this here? How do I get a spaceship to look like it's flying at me? Whereas everything pretty much before Star Wars was they actually used the camera and they panned it by. But they were like, how about we station the camera and we actually move the object to the camera? And it's like, it's giving you the same effect, but nobody had really thought of that before. So that's just one, you know, of all the things that they did and all of the different details that they invented, right? It's all from problem solving, trying to get something out of here, out of your head. I'm pointing as audio only. I'm trying out of your head onto a screen or onto a piece of paper. Well, we growing up, you see this stuff. We watched, read it in the magazines, but then we're doing the same thing at home in the 80s. And we're like, how do I get that thing that I saw at the theater? How do I get that in my home? And all the problem solving that we're doing. And your room is a great example of that. That's why I loved your room when I first met you. I'm like, you don't have the ideal space, but you're making it, right? And it's like, you're problem solving. And it's like, you're even sitting there right now and you're like, oh yeah, I'm calibrating a couple weeks. I'd be like, a couple weeks, I want to be back watching things, but you're enjoying the problem solving, right? When I told you to get some, just get some of these, you know, sound treatments. And you were like a light bulb went off and you were excited. You were like, all right, I'm going to do it. And you texted me that night. You're like, I bought them. I got them. Here we go. Because you're problem solving. That's the fun for you. And I think for all of us, that's the fun. Most of us, right? It's like, look at what I've solved.
I enjoy doing this stuff.
Yeah, so, exactly. You
know, I mean, I don't like doing it. And like I said, I'm 3 weeks to 4 weeks straight of doing this. At this point, I've last night I had some choice words when things weren't playing nice with me, but
don't we all?
I'm at my, you know, okay, this is fun, but this actually was even part of my notes of like, you know, part of the home theater experience is I do enjoy like the decoration and how to build this. And, you know, I like to bring in my speakers down and I actually like cable managing. So yeah, it's all part of the process.
Right.
But yeah. I enjoy every bit of this to do stuff. And then nonetheless, it's fun to see the end results. Like and same thing you were talking about on the Friday show, you know, it's nice to show off. I don't get to show this off to many people. So that's why, you know, the tour thing was awesome that you guys were, you know, not to say anything bad about just a small enough channel. Cause most channels, if they were big enough, went, not that room, buddy. We need something way cooler than what you got. So
yeah, and that's not true. It's not true. Yeah. Like when you know Brent Butterworth was on, and he's like, and I asked him, I'm like, what do you? Because he's been in multi-million-dollar theaters reviewing them, and he said flat out, he goes, no, our theaters are better. He goes, in a lot of cases for sound and picture, ours are better. And he goes, you can have a $5,000-$10,000 theater that is going to produce a better experience than those big rooms, because those rooms are all like, I want to put like this in my basement. I just want a theater and I need it to do this, but they're not actually trying to do what we're doing, which is like trying to get the best experience we can out of the content. They're not about the content. They're about the, look at the room I got in my house, right? A lot of those theaters. So that's coming from somebody that's seen a lot of really nice theaters. And then to say like, you don't need to spend that kind of money to get the experience. Cause once the lights go out, that's the great equalizer for all of us. And
that's the one thing I wish I could do. I don't know. I mean, of course, just like most of us, I was listening to these podcasts. I don't know anybody else. Like, not at all. I would love just to hear other people's home theaters, just to even compare it to mine, because there is no reference point to my experience other than my home theater.
Right.
Anywhere else is, you know, I got my 55-inch TV with a soundbar. Yeah, that's cute and all to watch football, but I ain't watching a movie on that. So, you know, so I really wish around here, like, again, I'll kind of bring up what they were doing on Youth Man was the that Kansas City thing, that whole group of guys get together and like, I would be jealous of that. I was like, I would love to have something like that just to be able to experience other people's things, I guess, on the home theater front of, but like I said, I have no reference point. So this is, I don't know. Does it sound good or sound bad? To me, it sounds awesome. So
yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, what's fun is we have like what's going on. It's that environment, I think, is starting to be another one of the byproducts of the podcast is that you've got like Mike, Johnny Speakers, and Omar. They got together.
That's right. You were talking about that.
Right. Yeah. And I had a listener ask me where they are because he thinks he's in a similar area. So it's like, but like Mike and Johnny Speakers, I'm pretty sure got together. They never really told me this. I just know they got together, but I'm pretty sure it was because they listened to each other, right, on this podcast on Takeover Tuesday. And they said, like you said, you're in the kind of the Detroit area. Well, yeah. You've just put it out there, so I wouldn't be surprised if a bunch of people are like, I'm not far from there. Let's hook up, right?
And yeah, anyway, in the northern parts of Detroit.
Yeah, so it's like, and that's how it'll work. And my podcast isn't huge. Home Theater isn't huge. So how far, we're all pretty far apart anyways. Yep. But I have poor Dan literally 20 minutes away from me, and I still haven't been over to see his yet. I have another listener that moved from Jersey to, like, he's like an hour away from me now, and I can't wait to get over to see his. So I have that opportunity. I think we're all going to start getting it a little bit more. And, you know, if people want to get put together, I'm happy to facilitate that, but I want to do it on their accord. You know what I mean? Like,
I
don't want to be like, it's different to set up. I don't want to set up a message board or something like that, but I want people to be able to cultivate their own, you know, because you're bringing people into your home.
It's a personal and.
Yeah.
Safety and so on and so forth.
Yeah. You know? And it's, knowing everybody I've spoken to, we're all like, come on down. It's the wives. Yeah, like, what are you saying to the world? Right. I'm like, well, it's only DJ. It's not the world. It's him and six friends. But we do. We love that. Right. And it's like, that's why, like, when my buddies were like, you know, I remember I was laughing when I was going through it. And I'm standing in my room, but I literally was thinking of Mike Lovin' Thunder Schramm and the story he told of when he turned his theater on and he got it thumping and he went upstairs like a kid and he's just standing in the kitchen like, does anybody else
Come
hear
on,
that?
Somebody say something.
Right. Yep. Because
somebody got to say something.
Right. Because we try to be subtle by turning on like a multi-$1,000 theater and turning it to reference level. That's us being subtle. like I, instead of just saying, anybody want to come check out my theater, that would probably be less obtrusive. But it is fun. It's fun, and it's fun to experience other people's stuff, and then you get other ideas.
Like I said, I would love to experience, and like out of people that have actually heard this, is very few. Like I have an older brother, he's been down here, he thought it sounded good. Brother-in-law, he's came and he's kind of the more fun because they don't do stuff like that. You know, came down here and he just is a kid giggling as he's watching stuff with, you know, the butt kickers are going off and I'm putting up to reference level. And so I know it sounds good because he's like, I can't believe I'm hearing water drops back there and so on. So, you know, things like that. So I mean, I know it sounds good, but like, that's my reference point is like, honestly, like two people, my kid, he don't care. He's actually, he just likes the big screen. That's like, that's cool, daddy. So,
yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's bigger than him.
Although I will laugh, though, that is the last he was here, and I think you guys were actually talking about it the other day. We were watching Sonic 2, so you're saying that, you know, it was a really good demo. Now, given with him down here, I didn't have it nowhere near to the levels to do that. But he gave me his one little compliment, though. It was so fun to watch. We were watching it down here with the lights off. He starts looking around. Because the back surrounds and the animals, he actually thought something was coming from behind him. Like, I could see how fast it says, like, I heard something back. What? It's like, so... The surrounds are working for even a 5-year-old. Like, hey, what's happening over here?
It's fun when people notice stuff like that, especially a little kid. He's like, what? Yeah. I've had the last time I had, well, my sister's son, my nephew came in, and this was a few years ago, and we put on the Batman Lego movie. And he sat in the seat and he didn't even sit back. He was sitting up to the edge of the seat. His feet are dangling over and he's just staring at the screen and he's just looking. And then all of a sudden it starts playing and the action starts happening and the opening and things are going on. Same thing. And his head's turning like, what? Like, why am I hearing stuff behind me? Right. And it gives you goosebumps. You're like, you know, and what was it when I had the guys in a couple weeks ago? And we were, like I said, we were doing the opening to the Avengers, and you come to that part when they actually shoot when Loki shows up, but the laser like appears or whatever, the Tesseract, the power comes on. But when the power comes on, there's a big piece of bass to that. That's like, and like all my buddies are all like, wow. Oh, those subwoofers are kicking in because the room just goes.
Yeah.
but it hadn't, you got a little bit, you got really nice sound up until then, but when that kicks in, they were like, well, yeah. And that's not even, that's not Lucy. That's not something that, like, you know, it, but it is, it's fun. So hopefully that works out. Anybody in the northern, actually anybody within 2 hours of Detroit, that's
pretty
what
much
people do, you know, be like, hey, road trip, let's go. And,
I go back and forth to Grand Rapids. I was actually was born and raised in Grand Rapids, which is the other side of the state. So,
yeah. Well, look
I'm
at Omar.
Used to driving that. So
Omar lives in Florida.
Okay.
And he hooked up in there in Illinois, right? And he just I don't know how they hooked up. I'm sure it was on. They DM'd each other on Twitter. I'm sure. And Omar was probably like, "I'm on my way up there. If you guys are around, hearing it here." And they were like, "Okay." And next, obviously, I don't know anything about it, but then I get tweeted a picture and you're like, oh, that's awesome. Listeners are getting together. So, and doing exactly what we all want to do, right? So,
yeah,
so cool.
And then, actually, there's one other, I guess, funny story as we were talking about. You guys brought up, I think you said you hurt your back or you did something when you were younger with your TV. I can't remember last week. I just thought I would bring up my. I probably was, what, 16 years old, something like that, well, you know, back in the day for a 27-inch Sony Trinitron.
Yep.
And I couldn't wait. That had to make it downstairs where my basement, you know, was for a kid. I had to get that. I would not wait for my friends to come to this and that. Yeah, I threw my back out for 2 weeks after carrying that stupid TV down a flight of stairs by myself. That thing was huge. Yeah. Just the silly things they've done. I mean, I've been big on stereos and home theater, you know, even back then. I was like, no, I got to see this. I have to see it. Woo.
Oh, yeah. I was probably 24, 25 with a 32-inch Trinitron, and I had to go upstairs in an older house. It was a two-family, and we lived on the second floor. And I had to take it out of the box because the box literally wouldn't fit through the stairway. And I said, the only reason I could actually carry this thing up the stairs is I used the wall as leverage. So I got it into the door, had to squeeze it through. And then it was between me and the thing. And I put the back of it on the rail and just like step. And my wife's watching. And I was like, go around. We had two entrances. Don't watch from the basement. Don't watch from the bottom of the stairs. And she's like, why not? And I'm like, because if this goes south, I'm going to land on you. I'm like, get up there, go up to the top. She's like, because she wanted to watch to make sure I was going to be okay. Yeah. Like, well, if you're going to watch, then do it from above, not from below. Yeah. But yeah, I got it in, and yeah, same. And what was funny even then, it's like, you know why I was so excited to get it in? I wanted, the Bruins were on. Like hockey. Okay. I was going to watch a hockey game on a 32-inch television, but I had to get it in place and installed by 7:05. And I was like, I did it, obviously, but the things you power through.
Yeah. Well, that was the same thing for, you know, that was the best TV I probably ever seen up to that point. I mean, my mom never cared about nothing like that. So, you know, I was so excited just to plug it in. It's like, oh man, I got a brand new TV and it had, you know, better sound than most things, you know, all the other silly stuff that, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just super excited. I remember. I'll always remember because that was one of the few times I ever threw out my bag. The same, I had to take it out of the box. It barely fit in the car that I nonetheless was trying to drive at that point in time. And same thing, our front door just would not bring it in with even a 27. The box was so big. I had to take that down. That's how I was trying to manhandle that thing walking down a flight of stairs.
Oh. Yeah, and that's the thing. Sometimes down can be worse because now you're fighting gravity. Like, you don't want to go down too fast. So you're like, oh, no, I'm losing it. Oh,
Yeah, none of that plastic had soft ridges neither. It's another, you know, everything has sharp edges, and so it's cutting into your hands as you're trying to finagle it.
Well, and all the weight was further away, right? Because the way you had to hold a television was, like, the screen had to be up against you. And then the weight was further away. So it's just awkward of doing. I mean, the TVs now, it's like, I mean, plasmas were heavy to hang on a wall. That was, but the TVs now, you're just like, you pick it up and it's like one person, easy. Like, you're at the Best Buy. You could buy a 75-inch and like, oh, do you need help getting that out? And you're like, nope. And you're walking out with a 75-inch television and by yourself. And like, all right, yeah, I got a bag of DVDs in the other hand and a 75-inch television in this hand. Yeah. Like, thank you. Gotta go.
Yep. Especially with that OLED doesn't weigh anything. Only reason I needed help to hang it is because it's just so big. I can't, you know.
Right.
But weight-wise, yeah, I brought it down here by myself, but everything, that was easy. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you toss those bad boys around. Easy.
Yep.
I remember it must have been a plasma that I hung in my bedroom. And I was like, I did that by me. Like, you put the mount on the wall, and it's got those hooks. So you're just trying to get one hook in so that you can get to the other side and find the other hook. And now you're just like, boom, it's like hanging a picture. So light, so easy. Kids today don't know how good they have it.
No. Actually, trying to hang my rear speakers. Those things, I think, weigh 30 pounds a piece. Even being my rear speakers,
yeah,
they're hefty speakers.
Yeah,
they I was like, good lord! It's like I trying to hang those yesterday, but just because you said the one, because they take two hooks, and it's like, please find the one hook. Please find the one hook. This is getting heavy to hold these.
Yeah. So, are you watching stuff down there now with the Marantz out of service?
I watched a little bit on the TV, but at this point I had everything hardwired. I was just too lazy to put the Wi-Fi password in.
So, okay.
Well, so no, but no, and actually, like I said, today was the first time I was even probably able to sit down here. I mean, it was quite, right? Because I can't move. It's not like I can move the couch out of this room. That just, I don't have enough space everywhere else to do it. So it's kind of moving everything to one end, do what I have to do over there, go to the other end. Move over there just like anyone else has to do. You know, it's like I can't clear out the entire room. So, but no, I haven't been able to. I still come down here and enjoy it. So, you know, I've been playing around with my models and, you know, just things like that. So,
you said ambulance was a demo that you're going to use to try and see if you hear a difference in the center.
Yep.
What are some of the ones that do you have any that you like? That you like? I use Star Wars, T2. Jurassic. Do you have any that you just like can't wait to hear the difference on that you've been listening to for years?
And I sent you these ones even with timestamps, so if you ever need to add to your list. Hacksaw Ridge.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The first battle scene in that, I can't tell you how many times I sat and watched that. It's just because with the dirt flying around and the bass from, you know, when especially when the grenade launchers go off and boom, especially when you got the butt kicker and this and that. So that's without a doubt one of my favorite ones. The John Wick 2, the tunnel fight. That's one of my also. That was actually the one where my brother was like, I can hear the water drip because you know at the before the gun, this little drip here, a little drip there, little drip here, and then they start fighting. And you know, the gun battles, you know, with just the machine guns and the pistols, it sound okay. But when he breaks out that shotgun.
Yeah.
And with the bucket and nonetheless, just the bass, that is just a different bass tone. Even I had my nephew here once and he was sitting there watching this with, and he actually jumped. He was, when the shotgun went off, he just was not expecting what that actually was going to do. So that's one of the ones that I can watch over and over again. It's just, I like hearing the little drip. So I'm looking to see if I hear, I guess as people would say, the better separation. Does that actually sound just a little bit more maybe natural? I mean, it sounds pretty good right now. It's like, does little nuances like that get a little bit better with the improvements that, or the changes I made? That's one of them. And then honestly, for one of the ones I like doing a lot and for the DTSX is, the Harry Potter, when they're flying the car into the whopping willow, that's great because the tree branches are coming around you and they're flying around you.
Yeah.
And that to me is one of the best ones. I love listening to that. And unless there's a lot of bass as it hits things, there's bass to it and there's good Atmos. So those are probably some of my ones. And then demo discs, like true demo discs, the Adobe Atmos demo disc.
Mm-hmm.
I always like the, just their entry scenes are always good. But mine has a Game of Thrones scene on it where they put the wildfire in the water and the ships explode after he shoots the one arrow into it. And so that's another one I like listening to a lot. And then the Everest or... The one where they're climbing the mountain in the snow.
Everest.
Might be Everest. Everest. So it's just a scene for that. And that just sounds also, that's another one where you get that atmosphere of, you know, when the snow's coming from right to left and up and over you, and they have a couple thunder scenes, and they're, oh, that sounds awesome. So those are kind of my go-tos as I'm trying to, you know,
yeah,
things. And those are the ones I'm the most used to hearing to try to see if I can tell differences. Ambulance, actually, I still listen, because that one I put in a lot as I, when we were talking before we started recording for the HD tour, I already bought like three different center speakers. And that's the one I kept doing because that's what I wanted. And none of them sounded different. Like I said, actually, I bought a Klipsch one, which that sounded like complete doo-doo. It was, I don't know what happened. It was just, and I don't know if it was mismatching the tweeters, and but I put that in. It sounded horrible. And then I tried a different Polk Audio one, and it's another brand I don't know. The only one I was debating about buying was the SVS Ultra, but I don't like, you know, I'm pretty happy right now. Like, all these are LSIM speakers, so tonally they are identically. They all use the exact same tweeter, and, you know, were built to sound good to each other, and I never had that experience, so that's one I'm trying to keep the speakers together. So, but Ambulance was the one that just never sounded, but like, so yeah, that one I just, hopefully, now I'm back to my other center channels. I have two. I have the Big Brother and the Little Brother and the LSIM one. I'm one of those. I have people. I have spare speakers just in case, like my those surround speakers. Those are you'll never find those again. Those are, you know, they're discontinued. And that is a very unique speaker. It's not like that's a bookshelf. That's nothing. It's a very unique. So Crutchfield ended up having an open box for $250. I'm like, yep, those will come home and sit in a box. If I never use them, I guess it is. But in case I break one, blow one, do something, I have a spare speaker.
Yeah, exactly. I am not surprised at all that your Klipsch sounded the worst in the room as it was, because Klipsch have those horn tweeters.
Yeah.
That's high, and they're notorious for that. People, it's very directional. You're going to get some great, your highs are, they're like literally a horn. It's shouting at you.
Yeah. Well,
in your room without the treatments, all of that, all those high frequencies are like a pinball bouncing all around your room. And it's going to, you're competing with not just the speaker, but everything bouncing off all of that concrete. I wouldn't recommend, you know, Klipsch in that room. But
yeah,
with your new treatments and stuff, these speakers, you're gonna hear a difference. I'm pretty confident you'll hear a pretty good difference in there now, that, and you'll get more clarity, isolation for that center channel, and everything else too. But that's funny that you said, I didn't know that about the Klipsch, but that doesn't surprise me at all.
Oh yeah, it was god awful. Like, I didn't even bother doing more demos. I put in one.
Yeah, no,
there's no fixing this. This is horrible. So.
Yeah. Do you run room correction when you change out the speaker, or do you just let it ride?
No, I didn't. I didn't give them the benefit of the doubt on rerunning room correction every single time. I was just trying to troubleshoot, you know, like I said, that's, but again, I'll bring up, that's why when we first talked, that was, I mean, you didn't hear a word I said about nothing. You didn't know nothing. You didn't know it.
Just met you.
You got a center problem, don't you? Because I think you said, how does your center channel sound? I went, well, yeah, how did you know? Yeah, that's what, okay, never mind. That was the last straw I needed just to, and that's the other thing, like, I don't get to talk to anyone. Like, I go to some theater stores, you know, local, you know, boutique stores, but one, they either, you know, don't really care because I'm not going to buy anything. I'm just asking questions. So, like I said, it was nice to talk to one person. Like, you know, having right, wrong, or indifferent, just to have one other person's opinion that actually knew what my room was.
Right, right. So, yeah, that's the thing, is everybody's room is different. And the people at the stores, they don't know if you have a living room, a dedicated room, or you're out in a field. They don't know.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're just trying to sell product.
Yeah. And when they see a picture of my room, like, what is that? Okay. Like, there's not even walls. You're using curtains. I get it. But, you know, I'm trying to make something work here.
Yeah.
So
you're problem solving the bejesus out of it. And I love it. I love the idea. Yeah. I mean, where there's a will, there's a way. And
I don't plan on doing anything in the ceiling other than when I finally get everything put back in and I calibrate. If I can get the first, because I still have tons of the Rockwell, If I can put something and make it look pretty to go in the ceiling for the first reflection point on the ceiling, I will put, I'll put something there for that. Other than that, like, I kept wondering, it's like, how could I fill all the cats? Like, I don't want to fill all the cats. It's like, I like how this looks to a certain extent. That's why even with those, like, black panels, you still see the cold air intake. And, you know, as my wife was calling it, the industrial look. Like, I don't want to completely remove that, but I do want something so it's not such a hard surface sitting underneath of it. So
yeah. Well, the the ceiling isn't 100% necessary. A lot of people, their ceilings are, I mean, for all intents and purposes, you kind of have a diffusion up there because of the joists, right? It's not linear necessarily because it's the joists are going the long way, but you're still getting a little bit. And the other thing is a lot of people don't have anything up there anyways. And it, the idea is, well, like as the guys on AV Rant say, like 30%. If you can have 30%, you know, absorption in your room, that can be anywhere. But the idea, I mean, you want to localize it to your first reflections will help a lot. But then if you can do a little bit more to get to that 30%, it kind of really doesn't matter where. You just want it, something that when the sound gets there, it stops. Right. And it's just like it stops bouncing. So it's not coming. It doesn't matter if it's at the first or it's the second, but it's, you're reducing the amount of reflections. And just like when you play pool, that ball bounces around the table and it's like, you know, you kind of want to stop that and just be able to see that first or hear that first sound coming from the speaker and not get the all those extra sounds coming around you. And I mean, by the looks of things, you've done a lot. So
there's even the stuff that you can't, like, you know, actually behind any one of those panels I did put, I'm a big believer in the whole anti-vibration and using like Dynamat anywhere two things touch, they don't rattle. I was in big in car audio, you know, in my younger days, which most people in home theater probably at one point liked car audio when they were younger. I had a beautiful sounding stereo, and the best compliment I ever got from somebody was like, I brought home that CD and bought it and I hated it, but in your car, I love how this sounds, and it sounded fantastic. But I never did a whole lot of special. What I did do is I took every interior panel, if two places, if plastic and plastic touch, metal and metal touch, I put, and cheap stuff, just they actually call it a winterizing foam. So you go like in your RV around, put things around this and that, put everything back, so it, one, it tightened up the panels so they didn't rattle, but it just prevented all. That's one of the few things that made such a huge difference in how everything sounded. So going back to where, like, behind every one of those panels, I have Dynamat as big as I could fit, because there's actually magnets going around. That's actually, they're stuck on there with magnets. So that is, and then, like, you know, a cold air intake is just, I mean, you can go, it sounds like there's solid now. It's just boom, 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 boom. Right. So all those rattles went away too. So, and, you know, so hopefully that's even less of cancellations happening, and, you know, that. So yeah, I feel it quite a bit. Like I said, I'm all done. If it doesn't work from here, this is going to be good enough, I guess, for now, for what this room is. So
yeah, and everything you talked about with the auto experience, and by reduce in a car, you can buy the best speakers in the world, and you can buy all the amplifiers that we used to do, and be like, oh, look at these 6x9s hit this low frequency, blah blah blah. But what a lot of people didn't do, but you and I did, was lower the noise floor in the car. So now your speakers can actually shine. And that's exactly what, and what you're doing in your room with all those treatments and stuff, is you're lowering that noise floor, and you're allowing yourself to now be able to pick, you're not competing with other things, you know, like, that's one of the disadvantages when you're purchasing a projector. You're looking at how loud is the fan. I don't want to compete. I don't want my sounds to compete against that. And it's like, what am I going to be hearing? And it's like, it's a sound management, really, of just like, I want to be able to hear what I'm supposed to hear and nothing else. And that's the idea. And you've, like I said, you've done a great job in there. And you, in your video, you demonstrated on that cold air intake. You were like, you hit it, didn't you? In the in your part, you're like, listen to it. Where in most people's, you hit it and it sounds like you're hitting the cymbals.
Like you're, you know, crunching a pop can.
That
tingy sound.
So it's, I, and you sound like you have a really good memory, and it sounds like you have a better memory than I do, because you're grabbing those scenes, and I can't wait for you to see those, because you have a great collection of demo material to go through and a great recollection of every little detail. So it's gonna, I think you're gonna have a blast with it going through that. It's like, that's why I watch scenes over and over. It's like, that's really good. I like that part too.
I had one question with it, since you can partially see. Mm-hmm. So the panels are basically a border around the TV. There is a cavity behind the TV, though, that I didn't be able to. You think that's a big deal, or that probably should have had something? I didn't think it would be, because the TV is going to be almost flush against those panels.
Yeah, no, that's no big deal. Because the way the sound's working is it's going to hit the TV and bounce off of it. So anything you put behind there, it's like, it's kind of like
wasted,
bulletproof.
it's
already bounced away. It's hitting the TV and going away. So there's, you don't have to put anything back there. The only thing maybe now, because you wouldn't even put anything thick enough. It's like bass waves. They would get back there. Yeah. They would get back there and could be absorbed a little bit if you had something back there, but it would be, what you were putting back there would be so thin, the bass waves would just be fine.
You're talking about almost, 6 inches to be able to start really doing something with bass finally. So
yeah, that's that, when I did, similar to you, like your receiver, your preamp crapped out, so you decided to redo the whole room. Well, when I upgraded to my projector, the 4K, it was a heavier, it was the biggest projector I've ever had, so I had to redo my back wall, the shelf for it, and put in a stronger, beefier shelf, which is bolted literally right to the foundation. So what I did is I took that opportunity, and I'm like, same as you, I'm like, I took a whole day to do it, but I ripped off the back wall that I had up there, which was drywall at the time on standard. It was on 2x4s, but they were turned flat to create more space in the room. So I took out that entire wall, and then I put in 2x6s off of the wall, framed that. And then on top of the 2x6s, I created a false wall of 2x4s. So now I have that like almost 10 inches, like 8 inches thick. And it's all stuffed with insulation, covered with the black speaker cloth, and then I mounted my shelves similar to you, and I mounted my shelves on that. So now my rear wall is basically 8 inches of insulation. So there's nothing.
Oh no, okay, that's 8 inches.
Oh yeah, inches of insulation. Wow. And it's like there's nothing coming back off of that wall, and then so it's a false wall with just basically stuffed with 8 inches of insulation. So. And then all my
I remember watching your room tour when you did that. It's kind of funny when it was like, and now I remember seeing him talk about it. Like, and then I finally went back through all your videos, and it's one of your first, like, I remember watching that when you brought, basically I consume anything that says home theater on YouTube. So
That was my first video. I did it on Christmas.
Yeah.
I did it on Christmas morning.
Yep, Christmas.
I was like, all right, whatever. I'm like, I think the kids were sleeping in, and I was like, all right, I'll go downstairs and make a video, and I put it out.
Yeah.
I've been on YouTube ever since. So
But
yeah, that was a big difference. That once I ran the calibration on that, and that's how I kind of figured, I'm like, that's when I noticed my center channel was better. The sounds around the room were better. My front wall only has like, you know, maybe 1.5 inches of insulation, 2 inches. That's it.
Okay.
But most of that sound is coming away from that wall anyways. Right. And not much is bouncing off the back wall coming at it. So, and then I have that, you see the little stuff I have on the sides, which is like 1.5 inches, but that's that, recycled denim that I bought that in like 2002. They sold it by the 2x4, 2 feet by 4 foot sheets, and I cut them in half to create the design that I did. But I hit the first reflections with that, and that actually made it, that I did the clap test back then. And it's like I would clap in the room, and once I put that in, I was like sat in the middle. I'm like, there was a difference, and I lived with that for quite a while before I did the rear wall, but. Mostly I was using diffusion in the back wall by putting shelves, knickknacks, DVD displays, like you had the spin it. Well, I had the big racks back there. I used to do that just to create some confusion, leave some open spaces and stuff. But then, yeah, when I redid that wall, that absorption makes huge difference. Huge difference.
Yeah.
So can't recommend that.
Yeah, I'll see if I do the fake, if I do, like I said, what I was kind of debating, like it's not a fake wall, but because basically I can't build a fake wall back there in the first place. Right. So, but I could build something that I could easily remove so I can get behind there and hang off. Like I said, I don't know, like it's here already. So it's just a little bit of time and a little bit more wood. If it does anything, you know, great. If it doesn't, okay, well, I'm really out, not much, because you'll never see it. So I won't even make it look pretty. It will go in there, and like I said, it'll just be hanging more or less. But it just, like, it does give something that at least partially stops maybe something going, because I know the curtains aren't stopping much of anything. I right. get that part of it. So
yeah, basically,
I mean, nothing's going to stop the base.
Yeah, there's not much you can do about the base, but you have the base shakers, so you're good there. Really what you want to do is you want to get I mean, what we're all trying to do in our rooms is actually remove the walls and make it so that when that, all you're getting, like if you could imagine you're in a field and you set up a 5.1 around you, that's how you, and no reflections, right? So everything's very discreet, because if it misses your ear, it just keeps on going. And that's what we're trying to create in our rooms. And we're trying to get rid of those walls from bouncing the sound back to us. So really that's, I mean, it sounds like you're on the right track and you're on the right path. And it's like, as long as it's not coming back at you, you should be good to go. And like, I wouldn't even worry about the bass. You said you have great bass anyways, especially with those subs sitting right behind you and stuff. So
yeah, as good as it can be, like I said, you're still trying to pressurize the entire basement. So but when I recalibrate, I will calibrate it with the two smaller subs I had up front, because there's a bit difference in size and amperage between the two in the back, but those little 10 inches actually were what I was running for the first year were very impressive. Like I said, I love those monolith subs. I have no issues with them. So now I'll be running the two. I'll put the 10 inches will come in the mix, and I'll have to see if I sound anything different or not. At least with the stuff I'm only worried about is the cancellations. Whoa,
interesting. Yeah, wow, that was like an amusement park ride. Right, for the audio only listeners, Paul's camera just kind of like flipped around. I was like in a Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah, like, I don't know what just happened. Okay, well, I'll have to hold that perhaps, because I don't know what's going on with it. So
it's
just in a tripod, but it's supposedly one that keeps you a little bit more or less
stable,
wobbly, I guess. But but unfortunately, I guess maybe the battery died on that. So.
Oh, that's funny. What is
I'm it? Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem.
Can you see me still fine that way?
I can see you now, yeah. I can see you. Your voice went out a little bit, but that's fine. Yeah, I can see you. Yeah. This is audio, Paul. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't know, going back to the base. Sorry, man. All the goofiness here for a little bit. Sorry about that. I'm looking. I don't. Hopefully, that running the four subs, I don't get any weird cancellations, I guess. So, like I said, I haven't been very comfortable with REW to know, like, you know, if I'm getting bigger peaks or bigger nulls. I don't know quite yet, and I don't know if I'm gonna try to get into the REW stuff. Like, I tried it a couple times, and honestly, it just was overcomplicated for me, I guess. So. I'm like, all right, this isn't very fun. I'm getting more frustrated than I am having any enjoyment from this. So I know what everything should sound like just with the two subs. If all of a sudden I think something sounds different with the four, if it's good or positive, I guess I can, you know, worst comes to worst, I can just say, you know, not to run them, and then I'll sell them. But they said they're here, so I would hate to get rid of them so far.
Yeah, that's the thing, is if you like it, then that's good. You know, might not even be, who knows if it's how close it is to what it's supposed to be, but if you like it, that's good. And
yeah.
You know, I don't get into the, you know, room EQ wizard, all that. It's just, to me, it's taken. Now, some people like it. Like we said before, some people like, that's part of the experience for them. For me, it's like, I want to watch the content, you know, I want to problem solve my room to a degree, which clearly you do too, But yeah. Then there comes a time when it's like, okay, now it's set up. I want room correction, but I also want it simplified enough that I can enjoy my room.
Yeah.
And it's, I've had people tell me, oh, you should try doing it this way, doing it that way. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of why I went with the Marantz too.
Yeah.
And, over other, cause I was familiar with Odyssey. So I knew that was a sideways step for me. And it's like, all right, that's going to be easy to set up and easy to get right back into my gear, into my scenes that I want to see.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not opposed to trying Dirac someday or some other, you know, format, but
yeah,
it's right now I wanted to go right. I wanted to have a quicker step and be able to get back to and see if there was a difference, but
yeah. Yeah, I agree. Like, Odyssey is nice. It's user friendly and nice. And I tried REW, and it was just it just got me more frustrated because I don't know if I'm doing it. And that's the other thing too. Like, I mean, there's a lot of videos out there. I don't feel there's a good video out there telling you kind of like how to run it. So yeah, I just kind of gave up on it. Like, no. So I'll calibrate it with the four subwoofers and see if I like it. If I don't, then I guess I'll have choices to make at that point. So, but. I'm just a firm believer, more subs, the better. So,
well, yeah, I mean, to a degree, like you said, you don't want it muddying, you don't want it canceling out, but I think Odyssey should take care of that for you too. It'll tell you if it's too, you know, if you're running too much or not even tell you, it'll run it appropriately, I guess. I've never had that problem.
Yeah.
I'm running two and, you know, and that's it. So, and I love my experience in there. And
yeah,
you're probably with the size of your basement, you probably could benefit from them because you're going to get more feel out of it.
Yeah. And that's kind of what like I said, with the butt kickers, it gives you the shake and unless I'm sitting behind you, but even with those, I mean, those are, well, they're 13 inch subs, but measure 15. Like, I mean, they would measure like a 15 inch sub.
Wow.
And they have 2000 watts a piece. So, and I have 1,000 watts into the bucket. I mean, I have 5,000 watts worth of power sitting behind my couch. So I get quite a bit of a good feel from that one. So, but I'm hoping that maybe with the ones this gives it a little bit more even of a base, especially with this goofy room. And so we'll see. Or if not, I'll just sell them. But like I have them. I just don't want to get rid of them. They've been such a nice pair of subwoofers already. So
yeah. Yeah. It sounds like you're going to be like, all right, I'm going to make these work.
Yes. Yeah, one way or the other, I'll probably make them work. Yeah.
You know, hey, so it's all about, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. I've been in, like I said before, I've been in theaters where I'm like, no decorations, no nothing, but they just love that experience. Wires across the floors, and they love the experience. But they just, once the lights go out, like I said, great equalizer. The lights go out, and it is. It's a great experience. But you're going to, I mean, you go down, your room is such a great experience. Your system's not even working and you hang out there.
Yeah. Well, I love, but that's like, you know, I don't know how, you know, all, I keep calling them Nicky Nackies or memorabilia, but all the, you know, little action figures and pictures and like, I didn't have enough room to put, you know, any movie posters. I mean, you know, this way I get to represent so many movies down here that, you know, are near and dear to my heart in a different form than a movie poster. That I can come down here and just look at the stuff and just smile. Like, especially like, so the new Hulkbuster, and I got Optimus Prime and Bumblebee. Those things look so cool. I can't wait to actually pose them and make it look good. And I have the Hulk coming. So eventually it'll be the Hulk and the Hulkbuster. They'll be punching each other just like in the movie.
Oh, nice.
But that's unfortunately coming from China, the Hulk. I had to find something that I could actuate properly.
Right.
And the scale. I'm dumb enough to list it because the Hulk is like 11.5 inches tall, the Hulkbuster. Well, the Hulk is supposed to be just a little bit smaller. So I had to find the one right about 10 inches. So I had to find all the proper measurements to make it look right.
So your system's not working. You can't watch the scene on the TV. So you're buying stuff to recreate the scene on the shelf next to you.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you can't get better problem solving than that. I mean, that's the epitome of Brightside right there. It ain't working up there, but I'm going to get it going over here. And I'm going to sit and watch the scene and be like, okay, I'm done with that scene. Yeah. Have you thought of posing them, taking pictures and actually doing a flip book?
Yeah, maybe. I don't. Well, there's already more stuff already in the rafters. I got
Back to
the Futures and Ghostbusters now back there. I didn't have that when I did the room tour. So those are up there with the. It's basically it's the DeLorean and the Ghostbusters machine. And when it's on Etsy, they have 3D printed signs, so it's actually sitting behind there. It looks pretty cool. So yeah. I just all these little goofy decorations. So and actually, with that, I don't know if there's ever, or maybe off the air. This and that. One of the comments during the HT tour was, "I don't do social media, so I have no Facebook. I have no." If I ever took extra pictures, someone wanted to see like the sound panels, would you ever, if I sent them, could you put those on like your yeah. website and or that just to say that, you know, here's the update from Paul's Theater?
Yeah, we could do that. I could, yeah, I'm trying. Yeah. Well, I could do it through the podcast too. I could do it, send them in and I'll put them up. John and I'll talk about them. I could do it that way on the YouTube or we could do, let me talk to Ara. We'll think about it. It's like, I could put them on my website. I could put them on that theater, on my theater page on my website. But I'm trying to think of another place where we could actually link it to that. Let me talk to Ara, but yeah, we could definitely do that because
just to see people, the updates.
People are doing that stuff. Yeah, people are like, we've only done a handful of tours so far, but people have already changed them. One we were supposed to do and we didn't get to it in time, and he moved.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So we were we were in the beginning part of it, and he's one of my longtime listeners, and he's the one that moved from Jersey to Connecticut, and he moved, but now his new theater is done and it's spectacular. His he actually, I think on my website, he was one of the first, if not the first theater I did, and he had a lobby and everything, and nice. So now his theater is spectacular. His new one, it's awesome. But people get updates all the time. Let me talk to R and we'll see. I'm super busy right now, that's why we haven't done one, but I keep telling R, I'm like, don't worry buddy, because once winter starts or the colder weather and work slows down for me, I'll have oodles of time and I'll be able to do all this stuff. So we can get something going for that, because you've done a lot. And just looking behind you, it's like I could see the room is like, and the first thing I noticed was the lights, track lights.
Yeah, those were not. Yeah.
And then I noticed the room treatments, but that didn't stick out because you blended them so well with the wall. It's great.
Yeah, I thought about maybe a darker brown, but it's like I don't want darker. I try to avoid any of the dark colors. It's like I like the feel of this room and the color schemes that are being used in it. So, yeah. Yeah, they're kind of a pretty light tan. Like I said, I already had, unfortunately, one of them behind the TV. I had to take the bracket off and switch it. I accidentally got something, some of the Dynamat stuck to one piece. I didn't realize it was sitting on my home entertainment center that has Dynamat, and it was sitting on that piece. I didn't realize it and put it on. And it's a black spot, just right over at the T. I'm like, damn, you got it. It's like, how can I? And I try to wash it off. There's no washing that off. So I was like, yeah, no, screw it. I'm just going to flip over the bracket. So put the bracket on the other side. I went, there, now you don't see it.
There you go.
It's behind the TV. So
nice. So did you put Dynamat between your sound absorbers and the wall?
Not the wall here. No. That wouldn't have done anything for that. On the colder intake.
Okay.
So the Dynamat sitting behind those the foam ones, which the foam I know doesn't do much, but maybe that'll help it just a little bit more. But it darn sure dented the cold air intake a lot. So
yeah.
Because before that was just wide open, and then Dynamat sitting straight behind the back of it completely, since I didn't have to do anything. But yeah, that's not vibrating anymore. There is nothing will come from that anymore.
Nice. Very nice. Awesome. Great stuff, Paul. What do you got?
Actually, I have a few things, but I know we're getting pretty close to 2 hours, so
that's okay. Keep on going, buddy.
You Uh-oh. Are probably the most convincing person that I have listened to about characters I disliked. So when you and Mike Schramm were talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi, I thought it kind of was less than great.
Okay.
You, after listening to that podcast, convinced me that, I didn't really look at it that way. I was like, okay, so I kind of went, you know what? That's it. So that show, I'm actually looking forward to rewatching it with a different frame of mind.
Right.
So staying with Star Wars, because this is one of my biggest pet peeves. So I just want to throw a challenge out to what your opinion was on this. The last three that came out, so the newest ones, I could not stand or did not like Kylo Ren. I thought the actor and how he portrayed to be, to me, you're supposed to replace Darth Vader. To me, Darth Vader is the baddest, coolest, best villain ever will be produced. No one will be better. I'm never going to. Kylo Ren threw a tantrum when he didn't get his way and acted to me like a little bub. Yeah. I'm just curious, like, what was your opinion about Kylo Ren? Did you still like his character, or was like, yeah, I didn't really dig him too much? Because I'd imagine you would have a different spin, because I had a hard time seeing past him, past those scenes when I just, okay. But you have been very convincing on multiple occasions. I'm like, oh, yeah. I was like, well, that's a much better way. So I was just curious your spin on Kylo Ren.
It's a different, yeah, it's my spin is perfect way to put it. But it's like, but it's also, yeah, different opinions makes you see things in a different light, right? Okay. You're 100% correct on Kylo Ren. Where I can maybe change your mind a little bit is that you have to lose, if you look at it through a different lens of what jumped out to me was what you said. It's like, he's replacing Darth Vader. So you're thinking, we're sitting down, we're going to make this trilogy. What big bad can we create for this movie? And now we're going to create Kylo Ren, who is Darth Vader died in the last movie, right? And Force Awakens, here we go. It's a new trilogy. We need a new Darth Vader. That's not what Kylo Ren is. He's not the new Darth Vader, okay? So Darth Vader, what was fun about Darth Vader, let's go back to that, is he was Anakin. And what was fun about the original movie was we got to see Anakin as a child. And that moment in that entire movie, when we first saw it, we were like, this is going to be the biggest villain in the world that we've ever seen in our lives. I was afraid of this person. The first time I saw him, I was 7 years old. He choked a guy and snapped his neck. Boom. That's that little kid, right? So you have that, like, so there's almost like, and there was a flip there. And you saw it, one of the things about Anakin was in those, in Hayden Christensen, is one of the scenes that we didn't like was his struggle with keeping that dark side at bay, right? And it was difficult. And that we all look at that and go, I don't like, you know, episode two. He's just so whiny to your point, right? That's that's Anakin we're talking about and Hayden Christensen. But what was nice is what we liked about Vader and why our memories of Vader are so great is there was no, he was the black. He was the evil. He was the, that's it. He's dressed in all black. He looked scary. He was scary. He was the epitome of evil. There's no struggle there, right? Go to Kylo. Ben. He has struggle. Which is his name? Kylo Ren or Ben Solo? He's struggling between the light and the dark. He's trying to keep the light at bay the entire time. And then at the end, obviously, we know he doesn't. Him being whiny, that's part of that struggle. That's the character that we're trying to deal with. And it's like he's fighting. I mean, he was, and I love the term whiny. Who was he trained by? Luke.
Yeah.
Right? Go back and watch A New Hope.
Yeah,
I don't want to go to that. Yeah. I don't want to do this. I don't want, I got to go to the moisture evaporators. I wanted to go into town with my friends. I want everything he ever did. Oh, I got to clean the robots. Everything was whiny. And somebody pointed that out to me when I was in my 30s. And I went back and I'm like, oh my God, he's awful. But that Kylo Ren is that, it's that struggle. And it was that, and what you had in that trilogy is the strength of Rey, right? Where she didn't, she never really had that struggle. She had a struggle of like, her struggle was she didn't want this responsibility, right? So you had her, And why didn't she have as much of a struggle? Why didn't she appear to be as whiny? Is she was actually, when she finally did train with Luke, she was embracing it. Like, what the hell? That's dark. I don't care. I'm just dealing with it. Just balance the two together. And it's like, I mean, she didn't say that, but that's kind of how it went on. I don't think, you know, I think the way they wrote it and the way they asked him to act is like he was supposed to be like, I'm dark, but I don't want to be. He kind of didn't want to be there, right? It's like, and like his dad knew that, you know, Han Solo knew that in that scene. And it's like, I still look at that scene when Kylo Ren kills Han Solo. I look at that scene that I think Han knew what was going to happen. I think they knew what was going to happen. And it was that was the part of the process that he needed to go through. And Han's, you know, his father willing to give that to him and be like, here you go. You know, you're going to do probably the worst thing that you'll ever do to yourself in your life. And that kill your own father. Yeah. But you needed to go through this. And I just think it was that struggle that makes it, that whininess, that's part of the story. I don't think it was, I think it wasn't the way he was acting. It was how he was supposed to be acting. I think that's the character. Right. Yeah. So what do you think of that?
Yeah, it's good. That I didn't quite
not as convincing as the others.
Not quite as good because I was actually once I get everything back up and running, I still only watched those movies one time because of how much I disliked his character. So I'm going to try to watch them, when they get everything back together and see if I enjoy it a little bit more with maybe a different frame of mind, I guess. So, because I don't even own those. So, like, I own every Star Wars. My decorations, I'm huge on the first three movies, you know, this and that. But those last ones, I had such a hard time getting past his character. But I also, like I said, once I saw the first one, and I guess I had a hard time looking past it. So, I just wanted, like I said, you've done such a, when you were talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi, it was so eloquently put everyone like, oh yeah, that's I definitely did not take it the way that you did and saw how you said it. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, that makes it feel a little than I originally took for even Obi-Wan. So
yeah, I would say when you go back through, think of Kylo and or Ben as one side and Rey is the other side of like yin and yang. Mm-hmm. And watch it through that lens the rest of the way, because they literally are the dyad. They are the balance at the end.
Actually, that probably is because she's always wearing white. He's always black.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, they'll do a ton of subtle things, like the way they act, but then they also hit you on the nose with their costumes and all of that. So it's like, it's all there, whether it's, you know, subliminal or your face. It's all there, and look at it through that aspect. And then I think that'll help you appreciate for the way he's acting. I forget his names. What's the character, the actor's name?
Writer, isn't it?
Is he a writer? What was it? I can't
remember. I don't know. Yeah. I'm horrible with names.
So am I. but yeah, I think it would make you appreciate more of Awakens. Let's see.
Adam Driver.
There you go. Yeah. So I think it would make you appreciate how he's acting and his ability in that scene. It's like, it's still Star Wars and there are flaws, but to people's quote unquote acting.
His acting didn't bother, I guess, himself. It was just so whiny, I guess. So. But and actually just with listening to your guys' podcast lately, it's actually, I've been wanting to just even rewatch. It's been a while since I watched Star Wars. So that's why, like I said, I wouldn't mind start going through the whole thing, but then I would have stopped after the six movies and not done the last three, but I'll watch the last three again and see if they're, see if it's worthwhile. So, and then actually it will be kind of, I guess, the last little thing of me, to hear your opinion on this. Cause I so far I haven't listened to all your podcasts, but. So you disliked Moonfall. I kind of hear, you didn't mind the from it, but the movie itself, it didn't sound like you were exactly thrilled. They jumped off the moon. So I watched that movie and thought it was fine. Like I said, I laughed at it, and I was like, yeah. you know, was it a great movie? Absolutely not. But was it entertaining to me? One between the sound of video and even the movie itself, I didn't mind it. I'd say, well, but what I'm curious about, what I kind of consider something is almost just as unrealistic as that, and I wish and only hope they can eventually come out of 4K and not mess up the Atmos, is Armageddon. Mm. That in 4K and Atmos between, like, when the rock, you know, when they're on the moon and the asteroid kind of goes over Bruce Willis, with that, with Atmos and everything that's always flying up over your head, you're in space, for Pete's sakes. And it's like gravity, but way cooler, you know? Yeah. I was just kind of curious of what your opinion on, like, Armageddon was, since it, I mean, it's different, but it's almost unrealistic that you go up on an asteroid to drill a hole into it. I mean, it's about as good as jumping off the moon, so.
Is it though? Because when I saw Armageddon, I loved that movie. I love
Moonfall. One of my top fives.
Yes. So. I love Moonfall. I love the home theater. Roland Emmerich, I don't think he ever, you know, poor Steve, but I don't think he ever really fails at delivering a great home theater experience. Okay.
Yeah.
But Moonfall to me was where I lost it. And was the moon coming in proximity of it, of the Earth?
The Earth?
I was like, yeah. That's now go to Armageddon. It's the likelihood of both are equal, right? But I could actually, that's not true. I could actually see in some future time we could have the ability to fly to an asteroid, land on it, and destroy it. That does not seem to me out of the realm of possibility. The physics actually work for that.
Yeah, I agree. Correct? The physics is here. Yeah.
Right. Moonfall, the physics actually tell you that everybody's gone. The whole thing's destroyed. Yeah. Everything. Yeah. There's no jumping off. There's just the fact that if the moon came a little bit closer or anything like that, what it would do to our world. I mean, we're talking, you know, we're having issues with climate change now. If the moon decided to pull up a little closer to get a better look, we're screwed. I mean,
gravity would work a little differently.
Everything would move differently. It would literally destroy the planet as we know it. So that's where I'm like, the physics of it. That's where I kind of, I didn't leave my entire brain at the door. I brought in a little too much of my physics brain, and that's why I laughed at it. But when, like you said, like you laugh at that, right? And we separate that. And that's why I thought it was funny. I'm like, where I love about it is this is the lengths that Roland, and that's why I love Roland Emmerich. It's like the lengths he'll go to give us and deliver us a great home theater experience. It's like he'll throw everything out the window and just be like, has anybody thought of crashing the moon into the Earth? Let's do it. And that's what he did, right? And I love that. I absolutely love that. I love the idea of it. I love that. But as a story, we're like, come on. Like, that's what. So it's not that I don't like the movie. It's just that one part. But then again, you want to put my spin on it, the bright side spin on it. That's the, hey, I love, look, where are we going next? What are we going to do? We're going to fly a ship, fly the Earth through the sun to, you know, kill mosquitoes. Let's do it. Yeah. You know, I want to hear what that's going to sound like, because it's not possible, but whatever.
I just watched Starship Troopers. It'll be good. This is good.
There you go. And I'm telling you, when you get your system up and running, throw on Armageddon and use that Neural X. And that's,
oh yeah,
that's what a lot of people, what we're all noticing is that true Atmos and true DTSX is great. And that's the pinnacle right now. But taking something and upmixing it is the equivalent to back in the day when you got your Jurassic Park, you know, DTS 5.1 and compared it to your pure Dolby Pro Logic, it was a better mix. It was cleaner, but that Pro Logic was still pretty good. And we were matrixing the sound for that center channel. So that's all we're really doing here. And we get great experiences up mixing. So I would really, you're going to get a taste of it. Do I imagine that when Armageddon comes out with the object, whichever object base they choose, is it going to be better? Yeah, because they're going to probably bump a little bit of the base here. They're going to clean it up, and there's a lot that they can do. It's going to be an improvement. But using the Neuralax, it's going to help your speakers. And that scene you said where the asteroid's coming over you, the overheads will be engaged in that scene. So
I'm actually looking forward to listening to that one for that, because I like that. I probably watch that at least once a year. That's one of my
same here.
Go-to movies. I've always liked that. Even the movie theater, I think I saw it three times, which is just unheard of. I don't do that most of the time. So, and actually, with your shirt that you're wearing, I know the one scene I'm looking forward to the most on that one for Maverick in the theater. I was so disappointed. Honestly, for me personally, I think I'm done. For me, movie theaters
going to the theaters.
It doesn't give me the experience. I'm so used to having 5,000 watts in my chair.
Yeah.
A movie theater can't give me that. It just can't. And unless it's tailored to my one beautiful little spot that I sit in. So it was just unenjoyable. It sounded good. It was loud, but the scene where they have, where the shed goes and, you hear those engines, I cannot sleeping wait. Cause Tuesday I'll buy the digital version of it, and hopefully it gets me close enough to it. I can't wait to hear the bass with what those engines should sound like. Like at the movie theaters, to me, it sounded like a wet fart. I don't know how else to say it. It's just, I was so disappointed watching the movie. It was a movie, but the sound and we went and saw it in IMAX. So it wasn't a Dolby digital one, but we saw it at IMAX. So nice big picture. But even with that, with my OLED, I'd still prefer the picture. Here, I enjoy the experience here more, but the sound was so bleh. I was so disappointed with it. And the bass was like, it's like when that happens, I want takes. And so, yeah, for me personally, that might be the last time. I can be patient enough and not have to see everything when it first comes out. I'm patient enough, but yeah, I can't wait to watch Maverick on Tuesday for digital. That's I don't care if it's even. As long as it's 90% there, like what the disc maybe will sound, or Kaleidoscape, I can't wait to watch that at home.
Yeah, that scene you mentioned, I'm picturing the Batman and the Batmobile scene, right? And
I can't wait to watch that one.
That's what we're hoping for, and that bass and that the engagement. And so to touch back on you want to visit other theaters, you're wondering how yours sounds. We all go to the theaters. The fact that you know your theater is better than where you go, that's how you know you have a decent setup there.
Yeah.
And you're like you said, I have no comparison. That's it. That's the ultimate comparison. Because what our goal was at the outset of all this, when we first started doing home theater, was to equal or get close to that. And now we have all surpassed it. And we've gone to, and I don't think we've surpassed it. I think we've surpassed 95% of theaters, right?
Yeah.
There are still, I would still argue that Dolby Cinema is probably the most consistent around the country. Like you go to a Dolby Cinema in California, go to Dolby Cinema here, you're going to get, that's the idea of Dolby. They're trying to promote their name. They're trying to promote Dolby anything. So they want you to get the perfect experience. IMAX, they're trying to promote IMAX and their camera, and it's the image, and it's the big screen. And then they're trying to equal. They're trying to come close on sound. I just don't think they have the knowledge. Honestly, they're just pumping a ton of sound into the room, and it gets muddied.
It was loud.
Yeah, it's loud, but there's no, but what, and that's why I'll stress it again. This is a dynamic volume free world in Brightside Home Theater. It's like, because that's what happens is like when you put on that dynamic volume, you're doing what IMAX is doing, and you're just pumping crap load of sound into your room, and it's going to be loud, but the fun is the ups and the downs. And the, like that scene that you talked about is, everything leading up to that scene, and we won't give anything away, is fairly quiet. It's things are going on. But then when that thing punches, that's what you'd be like, whoa. And that's what you want. And it's that ups and downs, and that's the ride. And you get it with the image, and you also get it with the sound, and that's the roller coaster ride of movies. And you're creating that in your room, and the fact that you're better than going to an IMAX, you're gonna and you thought that before you put on all that sound in there, absorption. Yeah. So wait, your ups and downs are gonna be even greater.
I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, I'll be patient because I don't want to redo this again. Like I said, so that's why I'm able to be patient enough with it. It's like I want to make sure it's right this time. And I'm done. So I can just sit back and relax for the next 2-3 years before I do an upgrade.
Yeah.
Because I want a bigger TV and maybe I'll do a different processor. We'll see. Because I don't always need the newest and greatest. Like, you know, I said that I'm pretty happy with it. I do want a bigger TV though. Like I said, I'm hoping for the 85 and 80-ish in through there in the mid-80s. With only 7 foot away, is pretty immersive. I think it's a 45-degree field of view. So that's getting immersive. So
yeah, you're, what are you at, 77 now, you said?
77 and
7 foot. At 7 feet away, you're still fairly, that's immersive. Yeah, going to 85, that will be nicer. You'll notice from 7 feet, that's a big screen. But you're right, it's an OLED. So I, at 77, going to an 80, I would not downgrade just to get to 85. So you've got to go to an 85 OLED.
Oh, I will. I won't go. The only other one, like the room tour is the, now I haven't got to see it in person, was the 8K Samsung, the mini LED. People ran rave that got some pretty OLED black levels. And, you know, it's very, you know, that's the one thing I'll give it for Samsung. They're much more of a punchier picture because they can get a little bit brighter than what the OLED is. But I would have a hard time going to not having an OLED. I love the black levels. I just, and then once you get it, I'm addicted to it. That's what I want. I don't want to. So, right now I think they do the 83-inch, and maybe they'll get a little bit bigger, hopefully, in a couple of years, and still make it reasonable to buy. So
that's
the thing. So,
but yeah, I'm as this podcast comes out on Tuesday, on as we'll call it, probably Maverick Day. That's I'm gonna spout it again, just like you said. You're getting the digital. Because physical's not coming out till November 1st.
Yeah, so I'm not waiting.
Basically 2 months and a week and a half away. And I said it last week in the podcast. I'm like, don't wait. I'm like, it's like to save what? A few bucks, 20 bucks, whatever it is to get it digitally. Yeah. And it's like to enjoy this movie and have the fun with it of enjoying it over and over and then seeing it and having had 2 months of consumption of this movie, you're going to know that inside and out. And then to throw that disc in and be like, wow, what a difference in sound and picture.
Yeah.
And it's that to me is part of the fun, right? Yep. I mean, you can't, it's a forced A/B test and you can't, that's what we did it for years because you had no choice. And now it's like, here it is again. It's like to say, oh, I'm just going to wait. And it's like, I think you're, as a home theater fan, you're missing a great opportunity there on a great movie that's, to me, is totally worth it. Some movies I wouldn't say like, well, yeah, don't, I wouldn't, you know, just wait, right? Yep. But this one here is I want in my collection, and I'm going to be doing both on Tuesday, digital Kaleidoscape, and then when the physical comes out, I'll probably buy my favorite steelbook or something like that, but.
Yeah, first I got to be a little patient for a little bit, but then that honestly, Top Gun Maverick will probably be the first thing I watch after calibration. That'll be time to sit down that night and see if I can wake up my kid or not. So,
yeah, you will.
that'll be listening to that reference level. So
great. You're going to enjoy it. I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait to, I don't know if we don't record it, but I can't wait to hear what you think. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous. You've put a lot of money on that you spent a lot of money and did a lot of work because I said something. So I'm a little nervous.
Oh, was it just you were just the cherry on top, I guess. Like I said, I listened to
I've never been called that before, but okay.
there was enough things I said I should do it. And again, it was just to talk to one person. Like, well, what do you think? Like, even when in my emails, should I do the ceiling? Should I do the back wall? Should I do the front wall? No, cover the front wall. That's where I would start and see where. And just even hearing, good. That's where I'll start. So like I said, that was just the last little push over the edge. So, all right, you know what? Let's do it. like, especially, I mean, like, I bought three different semi channels that all had to get returned because I wasn't getting what I wanted. So hopefully this gets me what I want. So
yeah,
no pressure. Don't worry. If it doesn't work out, it still ended up being a fun experience nonetheless. So that's there all I go. Can ask for.
Yep. So. Yep. Fun experience. Okay. But no, I think you'll see an improvement or hear an improvement, yeah. I should say. So,
yeah.
All right. That was, I mean, look at that. Over, and you were worried about going 2 hours? Never worry about that. But thanks, Paul. That was awesome. And I can't wait.
No, it was a good time. Thanks.
I'm sure people can't wait for updates. I'll be getting tweets and messages on what did Paul think? So yeah, great. If you haven't seen it, go to, you know, HT Tours on YouTube and check out his what is it again?
Paul's Creative Basement Theater or something.
And it's even gotten more creative. So, yeah. Ira and I said we'll revisit people too. So we'll probably add. Mm-hmm. We'll do another one once we get going and get cranked up again. We'll probably do a quick tour. Or you could even send us if you wanted to do. Well, you did a great job of narrating that.
Yeah, I could send up an updated one with.
Send us an updated video, and that was easy to do. Ira and I'll say here's an update. Boom. Paul's Creative Theater. So there you go. That's super simple to do. Yeah. All just right. Make sure you're doing it in landscape.
Yes. Landscape all the way out.
All the way out. Cool. All right. Thanks, Paul. Thanks everybody for listening. I'll be back on Friday with the big face off DTSX versus Atmos. What's your vote, Paul? Who do you think's going to win? I already know the answer, but.
I would have to say DTSX just for the fact that the scenes that I even talked about, the DTSX ones to me sound better. Like mm-hmm. the Whomping Willow scene. That sounds better than some of those other. Now, not to say it is. It's just the true spatial audio part of it. When it's moving right to left mm-hmm. and around, I think it sounds better. So I would vote DTSX. But obviously, Atmos is more popular. So.
It's more universally used.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's more popular. I think most people are voting DTSX. In all, like anybody that I've talked to that knows what's coming on Friday, everybody's voting towards DTSX because I've always said, I'm like, they're the little brother. So they're always trying. They have they don't have that wiggle room to actually have a bad track. Where there's a ton of Dolby Atmos tracks out there that aren't very good, but they have some fantastic Atmos tracks. So, spoilers.
I think it just breaks into the, you know, Atmos and DTSX, at least done properly, maybe a 5% better than what Atmos is. So it's just that little bit, just okay, that made a difference that I can hear it and I enjoyed it more. That would be my opinion.
Well, I'll let everybody know right here that as soon as Paul and I stop recording, I'm going to give them the results.
Ooh.
As an appreciation for coming on the show. So there you go. But everybody else, you got to tune in on Friday to hear who wins the big battle of DTSX and Dolby Atmos and Jurassic World Dominion. And to answer the questions, I've got a bunch of these questions. Yes, this is all through physical media. Kaleidoscape, Atmos, and disc is DTSX. I'm not using the digital Atmos, which isn't even close. So, all right. I'll see everybody on Friday. I'll also have a preview of Maverick, too, then. So that we'll have all that. And John and I got a big show. Can't wait. So, thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Paul, for joining me. And
thank you.
Go push play. Hey Fred. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.